following is a Red Shovel Network production. The Red Shovel Network consists of The Drew Mag Show, Child of the Duff's No Bullshit News, Emma Eric's Soul of Detroit, and No Filter Sports and shit. Enjoy the following Red Shovel Network production.
What's poppin'?
Hey, that sounds better.
Does it already, really?
Yeah, it does.
Check.
Mm.
Yeah.
We're in the DealsInDeed.com studios for the Friday Drew and Mike Show, and we're live on Facebook, brought to you by Mesa Tacos and Tequilas. Enjoy the warm sunshine. Check out Mesa's $7.99 summer lunch specials being served daily starting now. Plus, bottomless chips and salsa to go with your salsa.
So that's how Ted Patchell pronounced it.
To go with your fresh squeezed. Did he really?
Yeah. I'll take B salsa. I swear that's how he pronounced it.
Fresh squeezed margaritas, 150 tequilas, the most in the state at Mesa between 3rd and 4th Street on Main in Royal Oak. Gary Graff with us as we start the long road to the end for Bob Seger. Six shows. Yesterday they renamed the street going into, it's going into DTE, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
Bob
so.
Bob Seger Way.
Mm-hmm.
And they had quite an event that we weren't invited to.
What?
None of us. Not a one of us was invited.
What?
Everyone was there.
I think I know why.
Calvert, Karen, Doug Podell, Big Jim, Meltdown.
Oh, don't be bummed out.
Well, I really, honestly, it would have been a pain in the ass to go. So I'm kind of glad, but I like to bitch about it too.
So I'd rather not be invited and bitch about it than be invited and feel compelled to go.
I prefer to have it both ways.
I know, I'd hate that thought where, oh, God, I've got to go. What? Yeah. I don't really want to go. Yeah. Try to talk myself out of it.
So, yeah, there's much to discuss with Gary Graff. There's a few musical items that we'll get to here pretty soon. Also, I really enjoyed the D-Day stuff. I feel like an old person saying that.
Some of it's phenomenal.
And I couldn't read enough. It was really, and plus I felt really bad because.
Did you read about the local guy?
Yes.
Wow.
The black guy?
Oh, I don't know if he's black or white.
There's a picture of a black man in a lengthy, story in the Detroit News.
No, I'm talking about a white guy. Come on. where is it at? This dude flew like every mission. He flew 7 of the 8 bombing missions of Berlin.
Wow.
I think it was him.
That's not why Berlin was so screwed up when we were there.
Mort Harris.
That guy, Mort Harris.
He also crashed twice. He's 99. He lives in Bloomfield Hills. And then after the war, he was the co-founder of American Axle and Manufacturing and became this major philanthropist. So thank God he lived. It's a great story. This one's in the Free Press if anybody wants to read it. Michigan D-Day veteran recalls horrifying moments of American history.
Well, I felt bad that I didn't mention that my dad was a World War II veteran, and my brother today sent me a bunch of pictures that my dad took from his ship.
Oh, that's,
my God.
That's bombing
Iwo
Jima.
Wow. Your dad's.
Wow.
Like the presence of mind to take a picture.
He was the
ready for a bomb?
That's
my God.
Okinawa, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a series of pictures.
It's really good.
Yeah, they're pretty good pictures.
That's
and
awesome.
You know, what I think is true of a lot of veterans, and let's see, what's this?
Do you know how many living World War II veterans are in the United States?
How many?
500,000.
Really?
Wow.
Are you surprised it's that many?
Yeah.
Me too.
Holy crap, that's a great one.
90s.
Wow, look at that, the guns close.
He directed artillery, so yeah, he was pretty close to the action there.
Ooh!
About that.
He directed artillery.
He did.
That's awesome.
Ooh.
And...
Wow. God, your dad had a lot of stuff going on.
He did. Me with students? I don't know. These students. They put students on these ships?
How tall he is.
Well, they're students.
Good for you and your father.
Wasn't it?
There's that too, Trudy. Wasn't it was in Okinawa?
The boat. What's the boat? Is that his boat?
He was on the USS New Mexico,
which
I think there's a Wikipedia page on it. My brother, of course, is way into this. But one thing about my dad, and I think it's true of most veterans, they don't talk about it.
Sure.
Most don't. They won't say, oh, when I was on the USS Mexico. I mean, I never. I think my two brothers actually dragged information out of him. But he was an ensign about the USS New Mexico in the South Pacific. They had an amazing run taking back islands conquered by the Japanese. They were even kamikazed a few times.
Whoa.
Dad got that burn on his chest from pulling a sailor out from the fire.
Oh, my God. Your dad's a hero, too.
Yeah. I don't know if he was awarded anything, but he did have a burn on his chest that I remember going, what's that thing on your chest? He was a ship historian, directed naval artillery. They would soften the coast so the Marines could take the beach and the Army would parachute in for terrain containment. Really cool stuff.
Wow.
I have the scrapbook that tells the whole story. You can find it on Wikipedia.
Wow.
So, yeah, pretty cool. And the ceremony, too. I mean, I love seeing those veterans.
Mm-hmm. Did you see the story about Scotty from Star Trek?
I did. I didn't read it because I felt like, do we really need to know what Scotty did?
Apparently was a badass. Yeah, killed a bunch of people.
It was really cool, though.
I really didn't have time to read it. I would have read it, but I had to choose certain things. And
you had to choose your dad.
I did.
Well, he participated in D-Day, and I believe he lost several.
Oh, so he did?
Yeah. He lost several fingers on one of his hands, and you never would know it because they always hid it during the filming of Star Trek.
Oh, you never did the Live Long and Prosper thingy then?
Must not have.
Back to Spock?
At least not with that hand.
Well, I'm disappointed that I didn't read it. I will read it after the show, I promise.
Did he fight for the U.S. or Canada?
Oh, he was a Nazi. No, of course, he was Canadian, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yes, Canadian. Mm-hmm.
So he was on the Allies.
Wow.
Somebody just wrote, I think jumping out of airplanes into enemy territory and getting shot at and gassed with Heming chemicals is the key to a long life. How many old bagels turn out to have wild war stories? Crazy.
True.
Well,
of course, some of them could be making them up.
Well, that's what I was going to say. A lot of the most outspoken war veterans are stolen valor.
Yeah.
As
we learn later. When I was in Arizona, the publisher of the Republic, I think it was the Arizona Republic, was giving these incredible speeches and war stories about, it's probably Nam, I suppose, because that was in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And he was exposed as a total phony.
He just made it all up.
Yeah. And he was the publisher of the paper.
Wow.
You know, like the Free Press or the Detroit News of Phoenix. Mm. Total bullshit.
But your dad was Navy then?
Yes. Okay. He went to the Naval Academy. Graduated.
Your dad had the best penis in the military.
You knew that was coming.
A year after Jimmy Carter or a year before Jimmy Carter? I'm not sure which.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
He was like, hey, Carter, come on.
He was wrecked as a Navyman during Fleet Week.
I think he said Jimmy Carter was number one in his class.
Of course.
He was a brilliant guy. Carter? Jimmy Carter's one of the smartest presidents we ever had.
Yeah, I know.
But didn't go too well.
That southern accent, though.
Didn't work out too well. Okay. Oh, that didn't go too well, did it? Okay, what are you clowns planning?
Don't worry about it. Everything's great.
What's the clownery going on?
I was wondering if we had a drop, but we don't have it, so spared.
We might in a minute, but...
it's crazy. It was just audio when your dad returned.
Oh, great. I've never heard it before.
It might be this one.
This one, hopefully.
The sailor needs a Cosmos.
I got to get a better clip.
Yeah.
We'll refine it.
Our friends and studio sponsors are at Zot Ford and Holly and DealsInTheD.com. Who they love the most? They love the Drew and Mike podcast, and they love all the Drew and Mike listeners. That's who. For the very reason Maz, Gary, Gabara, the entire Zot Ford team love making your experience the ultimate in world-class fun and excitement. Zot doesn't just sell new cars, trucks, and SUVs. They sell certified, pre-owned, and previously loved used vehicles as well. By the way, Maz has not been able to waive a commission all week, I guess.
Aw.
He hasn't been in.
No.
He's only it. One week. It's only the first week.
That's true.
Gary will spot him if you.
He'll be whining by the 20th.
Bullshit.
Plus,
whining.
Zot Ford's parts and service department is ready and waiting to save all of our listeners 10% off their next visit to Holly. And don't forget to take a selfie with the life-size Hulk Hogan statue in the showroom or take a ride in the leather massage chairs, have some fresh brewed coffee, or the hot movie-style popcorn. No matter how you slice it, Zot Ford loves our listeners and their customers, and there's so many of them. So go visit. Be sure to tell them that any and all of us sent you. And summer's here. Time to enjoy fun and sun. And you're still stuck with your contacts, glasses, and reading glasses. Dr. Yaldo, our great Red Shovel sponsor, is here to set you free. He's done 30,000 LASIK procedures, most of anyone in Michigan, and has the most advanced technology in eye surgery. Lots of misinformation about the safety and cost of LASIK. It's one of the safest of all medical procedures, and his CATS Custom LASIK is the world's most precise, amazing results, so many better than 20/20, most cases. Multifocal lens implants for people 45 plus gets rid of reading glasses for good, produces precision vision few could have ever hoped to experience. Don't believe the $299 hype by the national chains. It does cost more than that, but with Dr. Yaldo, the Drew and Mike discount, and Yaldo Eye Center financing, it's affordable for almost anybody. So get a free evaluation. Call 800-398-EYES, 800-398-EYES, or go to the AldoEyeCenter.com.
I love your eyes.
So let's see. How long to graph?
We got time.
You want to play the Marcia Cross interview?
Sure. Yeah, this led to a very spirited conversation before you came down.
Yeah, I've heard a number of spirited conversations already today.
She's okay. She's talking about destigmatizing anal cancer. Well,
Farrah Fawcett had anal cancer.
I know.
Yes. Yeah, so
she
did
never
Strawberry.
Got any props for and it.
No, Strawberry had butthole cancer.
He had butthole, right? butt cancer. No, he called it ass cancer, actually.
He did. That is a quote. He called it ass cancer.
And the Yankees, they had three people with ass cancer, and there was some, I guess, debate among Daryl Strawberry and teammates about whether it had to do with butt pats or farting or something, because how do three guys on the same team get ass cancer?
A frank discussion using words.
It's going to be a frank discussion.
Some people
Tori had ass cancer.
This is a doctor doing the interview, by the way.
Not thinking anything was wrong because I didn't have any symptoms. And she gave me an exam and she kind of came around and said, well, I just want you to know, whatever it is, it's curable. Where you're just like, what? What are you talking about?
It was during a visit to Marcia Cross's gynecologist that a routine digital rectal exam revealed a cancerous mass.
Why do you want to talk about this now?
Because I know that there are people who are ashamed.
What do you want to talk
about now, weirdo? You have cancer. Do you have to then, like, also feel ashamed, like you did something bad, you know, because it took up residence in your anus? I mean, come on, really. There's enough on your plate.
I love the way you've embraced the word.
Anus.
Anus, yeah. Even for me, it took a while. Anus. You know, you just have to just get used to it.
I'm feeling better now. Besides, every bake sale needs a tart.
Best known as Bree Vandekamp on Desperate Housewives, Marcia spent 8 years serving up and showing off
great
her many
now.
Talents.
How would Bree have handled the diagnosis?
She wouldn't have told a soul.
That's a doctor asking
and
that question.
How many people are just like
come
that?
Come on.
Many people. Breaks my heart.
According to the CDC, human papillomavirus, or HPV.
I mean, that's pretty much the highlight of it. Although her husband contracted.
He had the same strain of cancer in his throat.
Yeah.
So the inference was that he fed the cancer to her ass.
Oh, really? I thought he got it from her.
Oh, he got it from her butt?
From eating her butt, which led to the question.
I thought maybe he had it in his throat and he fed it to her butt.
Because the question we had before.
Either way,
it's really awkward to think about.
Here's the question I posed
earlier.
Wasn't
everyone thinking about this today? Wait, the same cancer was in his throat.
Yeah.
It was in her butt.
So who gave it to whom?
Yeah. I just assumed he gave it to her, and I was thinking, wow, that is kind of a bummer that has to be out
there. Yeah, but wouldn't it be more likely that he would get it from eating her butt?
Well, that's what happened to Mike Douglas.
Which led to the question
today. That was not her butt. That was her.
Yeah. How would you prefer to get cancer? Eating?
Go ahead.
Catherine Zeta-Jones' vagina or Marcia Cross's ass?
I don't like Catherine Zeta-Jones. I don't know why.
Oh, so Marcia Cross?
It was 2-1.
I'm not very happy about the option.
You have to choose one. You're getting cancer. Where do you want it to come from? And how do you want to get? I mean, that's really what
I need time. I need some time to think
about
this.
Oh, come on. I know. I can't answer.
Catherine Zeta-Jones all day for me.
I feel like it's a trick question.
Well, Trudy and Brandon chose Zeta-Jones. Yeah. I said Marcia Cross.
Trudy chose Zeta-Jones. That's hot.
Yeah. Well, I asked. What? I don't want to go to Marcia Cross's.
Why do you choose that, Mark?
Because I mean, she's wilder.
No.
I think it'd be more fun getting cancer that way.
Yeah, she's a redhead.
Yeah, the nice thing about getting it from the butt is that it means that the other area is cancer-free.
So you're going to where do you want to put your penis? Yeah,
I mean, in the future, you're not going to be thinking every time I go in here, I'm going to get fucking cancer.
Although the other way, then you could convince Zeta Jones of I can't put it there. It's got to go in your butt. I don't want to get cut cancer.
There you go. Now that's green light thinking.
That's true. Yeah, if it's in the area,
I'm going to change my vote.
You could put the buttocks to work as a safe space. I need the safe space of your ass.
It's a lifesaver.
But it's gone. I'm in remission. I know, but I just need safe space, and your butt is safer. Or your mouth. I mean, or both.
Catherine James.
This isn't
his
cancer.
Ass is a safe space.
Don't think that Michael Douglas hasn't used that line.
Oh, I guarantee it he has.
If I thought of it like that, you know he's thought of it.
I imagine that he would have trouble going back to that, right?
He would be triggered.
So is that enough to ask? I mean, should that be a poll? Should we ask people?
Twitter poll. Prefer? How would you rather?
I don't know. I think
out of context.
Yeah,
Mike.
It's a little. Yeah, it's going to come out of left field. Unfortunately, if we were just doing it live right now, it probably could work. With this great, this rather emotional and moving discussion up to it.
We could just put it out there and be very cryptic.
I think that's too weird. I think somebody will flip on us.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
And we'll get
a bunch of narcs.
We'll get kicked off of Twitter.
How about is Catherine Zeta-Jones' anus a safe space? Yes or no? Well, I think it's yes, so we don't even need a poll.
I cannot believe that Rob Kardashian is back on Instagram. He was kicked off for life for revenge porn. Mm-hmm. Remember he put on a nude picture of Blac Chyna? I mean, the fact that this is even known to anyone is so dumb. And now he's back on with restrictions. Kardashian Communications is going to handle it. He's not allowed to use the word I or post himself.
What court decided that?
The Instagram court. The Instagram
There's an actual.
Court. Yeah.
Huh. The Instagram star chamber.
Yeah, it was Instagram versus Kardashian Communications. Apparently.
So that's...
Oh, did Kim defend one or the other? Kim defended Rob?
I think it's Chris, actually.
Oh, because Kim's a lawyer, you know.
Oh, that's right. Right. Yeah, yeah. She didn't finish third grade, but she's a lawyer.
Wait,
so honestly, how stupid is he posted revenge porn?
Yeah.
That's by, he's lucky he's not in jail. Isn't he really?
Sure.
I mean.
Yeah, it's a law. It's California
it is.
Law.
It's, and I don't know why he wasn't charged, but he was punished by, well, the Instagram punishment will suffice.
Can I ask you this? What did he post exactly of Blac Chyna?
A nude picture of her.
I thought you couldn't do nudes on Instagram.
Wait, isn't she nude all over the place?
Yeah, she is.
By her
but
own
he posted it because he was
choice?
Mad at her. I think he called her slut and threw it out there. Or maybe she, you know what? I think she was with a dude. I think she's with another dude in the picture.
But do we believe that the Kardashians went to Instagram and said, put Rob back on or else we're pulling everybody else?
Yeah, probably.
They
generate
a lot of traffic
that.
For Instagram. But on the same side, they make a lot of money from being on Instagram.
Sure they do. But he posted revenge porn.
But
yeah.
You know what the revenge porn was, now that I'm looking at it? It's just her kissing another guy.
What? That's not...
he posted.
There's nothing
that's
else?
That's all there is to it?
I don't know. I haven't seen the nudes. I'll keep digging deep.
You'll find
her nudes. I think there was something of her doing something else to a guy. I believe. Oh, I'm sure it's if you Google...
I'm looking for it, yeah.
Rob Kardashian. I mean, does it really matter if he's... Think of how dumb this is.
Oh, wow.
This is a fat... Okay, I shouldn't mention his size, but okay, he's gigantic. He's huge. He's a fat slob. And I was reading about, by the way, some singer from South America who he liked her picture, and she flirted back. And I'm looking at it. It's like, this chick is smoking hot. It's like, oh, so she's going to screw this slob because she wants to be in the Kardashian world? I mean, how dumb? And he's an idiot. I mean, the whole thing with Blac Chyna. He was Blac Chyna's husband. He's married to that dope. And we need him on Instagram. This is so important that they can't say, no, you're just off. Revenge porn. Bye. Gone.
What
forever.
Keeps him from starting a new account, though, with a different name?
Well, he wants to be Rob Kardashian because he wants his 3 million followers back. Yes, 3 million. No, probably more than 3 million. I don't know what it is. Millions of followers on this dope. Huh. This isn't this not? Have I nailed it with this is the age of the idiot millionaire?
Yes.
Isn't it really? It truly is.
Yeah.
And the idiot influencer. I mean, people are being influenced. They're actually accepting influence from complete morons.
Yeah.
Because they are able to get clicks.
I know. But what are you going to do?
Well, somebody was reading yesterday about somebody who spent $12,000 on the Fire Festival.
Uh-huh.
They bought all the extra, you know, eat with the influencers on a yacht. And
they get their money back?
Stupid. No.
Oh, my God.
Gary Graff on the Hall Financial Hotline in a second here. Hall Financial, if you want to get a refi, just click the link on the Drew and Mike Show website, fill out the online form, they'll get back to you, and they'll start saving you money. 248-308-5000 or drewandmike.hallfg.com. And boy, we had a lot of refis over there last month. A lot of people saving money.
Yeah, lower payments,
better options, and more personal attention.
Hey.
At Hall Financial.
Well done.
Hello.
Hey, Gary.
Hello. How are you?
Great. We're live. How you doing?
All right. I'm all right. Just kind of, you know, doing those things you do before going to a big concert. You got to do the hand calisthenics for writing down, and you know, you got to you know, got to pick the right shoes and the right clothes.
What are you wearing for the show?
At the moment, you don't even want to know.
Oh, Gary's nude.
He seems...
No, it's not that bad.
Hey, Gary seems made over lately, because I've seen you on Channel 7 two or three times, yeah. Dressed very sharply.
It's a new look.
And I thought, somebody's helping him with his wardrobe, or he's just more invested in it. I don't know which it is.
Okay, that at least gives me a little benefit of the doubt, but the first case would be right. lots of help.
I had a feeling.
Remedial.
No, you look good. It didn't look like anything that you would choose, but it looked right.
Okay.
Are you watching Queer Eye? Maybe that's it.
No, I haven't seen that since the original five.
Oh, anyway. How's Bob going to be tonight?
Oh, I think Bob's going to be great. I mean, you know, you don't get an address changed for you, the address of a major venue changed, and then come out the next night and botch it up. You know, I think, you know, they're all looking, he and the whole band are looking forward to these six shows. You know, it's also the end of this leg of the tour, so I think it's going to be, I think the place is going to be off the hook for all six shows. I think opening and closing nights have their own kind of special meaning.
Sure.
So they may be maybe a little more, and that I may be saying that only because those are the ones I'm going to. screw anyone who's going to the other four.
I always think opening night's pretty cool on any tour. Yeah. But he's been. I mean, the band's warmed up. It's not like he's the first show of the tour. So
no,
you know,
it's the first show of the most important stand of the tour.
And, yeah. And to that point, you know, the set list hasn't changed much from show to show. Do you expect it to change over the six shows?
Not significantly. What's been interesting, though, is it's changed more during this tour than it has during most of the tours he's done. He's at least slipping a couple of different songs, including the opening number.
What?
Tends to change each night.
What are the choices?
It's not like he's done a different opening song for every opening night, but
yeah.
he's flipping a few, you know, in between. And, you know, after all those years of opening with Roll Me Away, he's doing some different stuff.
What kind of different stuff?
Well, I know Nine Tonight. He's been playing Nine Tonight. I think it was Feel Like a Number I saw in Saginaw. I have to remember, but there's, you know, another one of those, you know, 70s, good vintage 70s album tracks.
Very cool.
Kind of a radio hit. He throws a couple of changes in, but, you know, the bulk of it, yeah, you know, 95% of it. Is the same. It can safely be said that people would revolt if they didn't hear, you know, any one of, in his case, 15 or 16 songs on a given night.
Is he playing Beautiful Loser Kathmandu?
He's playing Beautiful Loser Traveling Man.
Oh, Traveling Man.
Or Traveling Man Beautiful Loser. Yeah, mm-hmm. Kathmandu I haven't heard him do. I shouldn't say that. He was doing Kathmandu maybe three tours ago.
Is that because of the line on Mount Everest?
yeah, he feels responsible for the traffic jam.
I think a lot of it has to do with keys and, you know, what he can sing at this point and when what sounds right if you change the keys. There are some songs where if you lower them a step or two or three or four or five, they just don't sound good. Huh. Whereas there's others like a Ramblin' Gamblin' Man that you can, you know, you can play with, and it'll still sound like Ramblin' Gamblin' Man.
You know, it was funny with a lot of these guys as they get older, people go, oh, man, his voice is, he doesn't have the voice yet, but he's 25, which is like, oh, really? I mean, is that really shocking? But with Bob Seger, the last time I saw him, which was, I think, 4 or 5 years ago, I don't remember exactly, but it was recently, I thought he sounded great. You know, maybe not like he sounded in 1975, but I thought he sounded fantastic for whatever key he was in. I thought it was fine.
He's held up really well. You know, he's not on the road constantly like some others are. He's not damaging his voice. And he's been smart over the years about making some changes that, you know, make the song sound right and make him more able to deliver the songs convincingly. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that at all. And there are more veteran singers who should learn to do that.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a pride, I guess, in singing the original key. But if you can't do it, I would just soon, you know, it doesn't bother me at all.
No, you want to hear the song. You want to hear the song sung well.
Yeah.
So
I'm usually there for
the
nostalgia anyway, not to hear a perfect version. I like a live version. It's a little different. It's okay.
Oh, yeah, that's why it's live. You know, why why go to a concert if you're going to hear the record?
Yeah. Who do you think, Gary, is most guilty of sounding just like they do on the record when you see them live? Because I have a candidate for that. I wonder if you have
over the years, there have been bands, you know, like Kansas, Supertramp, who sound very, and they took great pride and took a lot of pains to sound just like their records. And there's one, and I got to admit I'm blanking on it now, but there's one that's still out there that I know. The Eagles. Why am I?
Oh, the Eagles.
Yeah.
The
Eagles.
They do.
Man, they go out there and close your eyes and you can hear pops and hisses. I mean.
You know, who I was going to say was the Cars were very tight. They sounded great. I enjoyed the show, but it was very much like the record.
It was very static. Always was.
Now, now on the flip side of that, a band that sounds terrible live compared to their albums is a show you went to recently, which is Wu-Tang, which is just always terrible sounding live because there's 15 open mics.
But I like that. I like the chaos. Wow. Again, with what we just said about, why go to a show if you're going to hear it on the record? You can hear the pristine Wu-Tang Clan production.
Can't they use 10 less mics?
Why? No. There aren't 15 live mics. There's maybe 12.
Somebody was ragging on your seats, where your seats were, too.
Where were seats?
Yeah. I had decent seats.
Okay.
Gary always has great seats.
On the video you posted.
No, Matt usually will. If Matt's at the same show as Gary, he'll send me a picture of Gary. Gary's always in front of Matt, and Matt gets incredible seats.
Boy, and now I'm going to be looking behind me a lot.
Now it's on.
I think he's a little miffed, but he understands.
Well, I'm willing to trade every now and then,
Gary, any word on why some people were not invited to the Bob Seger street presentation, but other radio people were invited?
That was an interesting wrinkle to the whole thing. The short answer is I have no clue why. They're an interesting organization in that way. They wanted to pay tribute, obviously, to the special relationship Bob Seger has had with radio over the years, but obviously not everybody was there or apparently even invited to be there.
Hey, I didn't see Arthur there now that I think about it.
He wasn't there. Like I say, I wasn't there helping him make up the guest list. I do know it was funny because I went to plug in my recorder and everything and went to put, at that point, nobody was there yet. So I went to put my bag down in the front row and was shooed away and shooed into the third row because, the radio people were going to be in that front row.
Oh.
And the Independence Township people, which granted, I may need them to fix a speeding ticket for me one day, so please sit in front of me. and then those of us in the print media were the third row and four behind.
No respect.
I print usually gets such great respect that I'm a little surprised by that. Was somebody live there?
Live meaning?
Like, was CSX live on radio?
Not that I know of.
I don't think so. I highly doubt it.
No, I didn't see anything live. I don't think, no.
Well, then it doesn't matter. Why would somebody, it doesn't matter who's closer than who, except that you want them to be closer.
Well, especially not the, they wanted to have the radio people in the front, and then Bob's family was in the front row on the other side, which, as it should be. And, he wasn't doing questions. He wasn't taking questions or anything. So, it really didn't matter where you were sitting.
Mm-hmm. His daughters are pretty.
Well, just one daughter. The other one would be
his wife.
Yeah. Well, hey, she's pretty, too.
Yes, she is. And they're very nice.
She'll be delighted if she hears that.
Is Bob's...
I think you just got your seats even in
Maybe
front
I did.
Of mine.
Or, Maybe I'll be invited.
Whatever night you want to go. Well.
Yeah, I think I would kind of like to go see.
Are you going
to
go?
Well, there's six shows till the 21st of June.
They just released a bunch of production holds for all six shows.
Yep.
Ooh, nice.
So it's the time to do it.
Okay.
Now the thing to remember is this is, for a while they were trading on the. They never said these were going to be the last shows. Period. But because there weren't any others scheduled. Everybody was making, I think, kind of an assumption they would be. Now, of course, they're going back out on the road in the fall. They had to make up a date that was postponed by weather back in January. I think it was January,
but
February.
They didn't correct anybody who said it was the last shows.
Would you?
No, I'm sure they wouldn't. I wouldn't.
Yeah, so there is going to be another leg at least. It's hard to say because they are notoriously closed-lipped. We don't know if this is going to be like a Kiss, Cher, Elton John farewell tour that goes on as long as they feel like going on, or if there is a definite date when they know they want to be done by.
Huh.
Nobody's saying that. I know they're clamoring for them overseas, where he has not been since the early 80s.
Well, is anybody really going to get mad if somebody decides, you know what, we're going out again? No, they're going to rush to get tickets. So.
People will joke and roll their eyes and say, oh, yeah, the farewell tour, but you're right. Then they'll go get the ticket.
Now, is Bob's son involved in the music business? Or?
I mean, not that I know of. He wrote about films, and then also it was in film production. You know, he went to school, I think, to study filmmaking.
Wow. Huh. So is he doing, he's filming this tour then?
I haven't seen him out.
Trudy, are you trying to get tickets now? Son?
No.
What's going on?
Oh, no, you know what I want tickets for? Skid Row's 30th anniversary!
Well, it's not Skid Row's 30th anniversary. Sabo. It's Sebastian Bach.
Sabo.
They really can't put Skid Row back together again?
Making it sound like it's Skid Row, but it's just him.
Apparently they can't. And it sounds like neither party has interest in working with the other. Even though, you know, obviously if you can go, well, Skid Row still has the name, but people seem to know it's not Sebastian Bach.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So, you know, so that limits where they're able to play.
That's kind of amazing, because there's more commerce in the group together, is there not?
There is.
Yeah.
There is. And some groups cotton to that, and they go out and do it, and other groups just can't get their act together.
Mm.
This video is hilarious because the hair flinging is off the hook.
Oh, the way he makes eye contact with the cameras.
It's like Willow Smith.
For some of us, at least, we look at it and say, at least he has hair to fling.
That's true. He's got a lot of that.
The weirdest thing that I saw this morning breaking in rock and roll is Todd Rundgren, Chris Cross, Mickey Dolenz, and Joey Hotmalen are going on a Beatles-themed tour.
The Drew Tour. You're a White Album fan.
Absolutely. And Joey Mullen's the Badfinger guitar player.
Right.
And who'd you say? Todd Rundgren, of course, from Utopia.
Mickey Dolenz from the Monkees is going to be part of it. Hey,
Christopher Cross.
Chris
all right.
Christopher Cross. No, okay. I'm offended.
Jason Scheff from used to be in Chicago.
You know, it'll probably sound good.
Oh, it'll sound real good. It'll be a little bit like the Fab Four, not as good as they are. But, you know, you are talking about people who have some reverence and in some cases direct connection with this music.
Yeah.
And Mickey Dolenz's family will also.
Oh, no. No, this, his daughter and his wife are not going to be on stage for this. They better not be.
No, they aren't.
They aren't.
So, yeah, that's going out. They've announced a few dates, none in this area yet, but apparently more are coming. So,
Gary, what as far as the Elton John movie, have you seen it yet?
Oh, yeah.
You have. Okay, did you like it?
I loved it.
You did?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you weren't so crazy about the Queen movie. Why is this better?
This is better because they don't treat it like a revered tome about Elton John. This is a very entertaining, fantastical representation of who he is, of his personality, of his kind of mindset. It's much artier and maybe a little more impressionistic. And because of that, you forgive the historical inaccuracies, and there are about as many in this one as there were in Bohemian Rhapsody, but you forgive them because they're making a movie and they're trying to show you Elton John. They're not trying to give you an academic look at what happened in his career, but they're trying to show you the makeup of the man, and it really works out well. I thought Taron Egerton was phenomenal. Support cast was great. I think it's really cool that the guy who plays Bernie Taupin was the kid who played Billy Elliot. Way back.
Oh, really?
And so there's that direct connection with Elton, because of his connection with that film and then the subsequent stage musical. But yeah, I just think that's the way. If you're going to tell a big, crazy rock and roll story, make a big, crazy movie.
Hmm. Yeah, I definitely want to see it. And this Beatles movie looks kind of interesting, too.
That looked great.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, you got great filmmakers. You know, this is the guy Love Actually and Four Weddings and a Funeral. So you know it's going to be charming.
Oh, Hugh Grant.
Oh, yeah.
Drew is Hugh Grant in the Beatles movie?
Yeah. No, Hugh's not. I don't think he's in this one.
Okay.
But this is actually the brother of Dev Patel.
Oh yeah.
But that looks like it's, you know, and listen, we've only seen trailers, right?
Right.
It does. The trailers always make these movies look like they're going to be amazing.
I got to tell you though, a lot of times I can tell from a trailer. I say, no, I won't like this because there's nothing in the trailer I'm even amused by. If they can't find 2 minutes to amuse you, I don't know what it takes.
Yeah.
Will these two movies, Rocket Man or it's Yesterday, isn't it?
Yesterday. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Will those movies? Will they create a lot of streaming for these two acts?
You know, if it follows suit with Bohemian Rhapsody, yes.
Yeah, because Queen is gigantic. I forgot, maybe it was Bohemian Rhapsody, actually. I was on YouTube, and there it was like 900 million views.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's up there with, you know, today's music, today's biggest music.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so, yeah. No, the movies definitely seem to have a positive impact on sales. And there's a Springsteen one coming out, too, Blinded by the Light. And, you know, you can bet that, too, will have, you know, it's a positive impact because it sends people back, especially if you subscribe to a streaming service, you know, it sends you back to listen to the song some more, and it puts you in that frame of mind.
Yeah, Bruce, it's funny, those first, that three-album set, Born to Run, The Wild, The Innocent, The E Street Shuffle, and Badlands, those three albums are so outstanding, and yet it seems like now when I am aware of him, it's like a hit is playing, like Hungry Heart or Dancing in the Dark or Born in the USA. He's so known for that one album with the five or six hits that I feel like those three records don't get enough. Maybe
being
just mainstream.
Bruce isn't easy.
So,
not in the public. I would agree with you. Not in the mainstream consciousness,
yeah,
but you know, within Bruce world or even the rock world, you know, Born to Run is definitely an iconic album, and so to a degree is Darkness on the Edge of Town. It's just that Born in the USA, which just celebrated an anniversary last week, it was a phenomenon. You know, it came at the right time when albums did sell 100 gazillion copies, and you had MTV to support it, and you could hear his music all the freaking time.
Mm.
And that just happened to be the album that landed at that time.
Hey, Gary, NXS, the documentary about Michael Hutchins popped up this week. A new one? There have been several, I guess.
There have been several not very good ones, I think. This one is the one. It's the sanctioned one. It's the one where they had some cooperation. And, yeah, the trailer just came out online. It's called Mystify. And I'm trying to remember if there was if they've announced an actual show date for it yet. I don't think they have yet.
No.
They've just got the trailer out there. Because what happens so much with all of these films now is they're in the theaters for a minute, for a blink, and you miss it minute. And then they go to Netflix or Hulu. That's the new movie theater. Mm-hmm. That's where everybody wants to have their stuff because they pay good money for it, and there's more opportunity for people to see it.
Oh, yeah, I absolutely would like to see it. From what I understand, too, the people interviewed for this, it sounds like they're getting to the bottom of certain things that really weren't, maybe the truth wasn't quite fleshed out in the previous documentary. So I'm very interested to see it. I mean, he was a rock star.
He really was. He was one of these guys that embodied the 80s. The one I'm really excited about, of course, is 6 Days, the Martin Scorsese, Dylan Rolling Thunder tour. A documentary that's going to show on Netflix.
What is that? Because, you know, there's of course Four Directions, the Dylan doc, which you would think would tell you everything. But
right.
that was a very well known tour, and Martin Scorsese's done some great rock stuff before with the band, The Last Waltz,
mm-hmm.
and he did a couple Stones things. But what do they have? A lot of footage that hasn't been used from this tour.
Yeah, they have a lot of footage that hasn't been seen. Dylan. You know, Dylan trusts Scorsese. I mean, the best interviews that have been done with the very best interview probably that was ever done with Dylan was for No Direction Home, which was the documentary Scorsese made about Dylan in general. And so he likes talking to him, and he gives him a lot, and he gives him a lot of material that he has that people have never seen. So the Rolling Thunder tour was such a crazy tour and so iconic in its own right that you'd, you know... But also mysterious at the same time. So there's so much we don't know about what happened when all these stars got on the road together. And I think, you know, this is going to be very revealing.
The last thing was the Rolling Stones. Well, I'm not determining it's the last thing.
Jeez, yeah, true.
That's okay. We got to go. And Gary's got a window. It's a Gary Graff window, as always.
The opening acts were released today, and I was, you know, kind of fishing through to see if there was anything sort of like the Prince thing that they did, you know, back in the day. Anything kind of, you know, how the Stones sort of picked somebody who's very controversial. Is there anybody that controversial?
That controversial on this? Well, I think Juan S., who's, you know, he's a big Latin star. I think that's going to be an interesting one to see how the Stones crowd.
Well, that's Miami, know, though. They would love it, him, right?
Right, I was going to say, right. But on the same time, that's in Miami. So we'll see. You know, Whiskey Myers, you know, they'll rock it. St. Paul and the Broken Bones. There's just a lot of these bands. What was it, Walk Off the Earth opened for them at Comerica Park? You know, a lot of indifference until they played Shut Up and Dance. Mm-hmm. And then all the soccer moms, you know, got into it.
Oh.
But I don't know, you know, Bishop Gunn, the Wombats. You know, there's going to be a lot of these bands are there for merchandising reasons. You know, the audience is not going to feel like they have to be in their seats. If they're milling around, it's more opportunity for people to buy beer and T-shirts.
Not to be that guy, but I'll be that guy. It was Walk the Moon that opened for him.
Walk the Moon, thank you.
Is Gary Clark Jr. in there, or did you mention
him? Gary Clark Jr. is playing, I think, one. Yeah, he's at Foxborough in Boston. Lucas Nelson and Promise of the Real is playing a couple of shows. Nathaniel Rateliff and Ace Wetz.
Yeah,
doing great show. I mean, there's good people here. The Rolling Stones people. Ivan Neville's on here. But you know, people when they go to see the Rolling Stones, they want to see the Rolling Stones.
Is Lucas Nelson one of Nelson's children?
Is it Matthew Gunner's son?
Oh yeah, Lucas is the bomb. I mean, Lucas is like the hottest guy in rock and roll right now.
He's related to Gunner or Gunner Nelson?
No. He's related. he's on the good Nelson side.
Okay.
He's playing with, you know.
Oh, is he Willie?
He's Willie's son.
That's what I thought. That's right.
So he plays with his dad. His band, Promise of the Real, plays with Neil Young. You know, actually, it's Neil Young's band.
All right.
And he did. If you saw A Star Is Born, they were Lucas Nelson and Promise of the Real were Bradley Cooper's band.
Oh wow!
And Lucas wrote a bunch of songs for the film. So, no, Lucas is like the real deal.
Lucas and Willie's still out there, still doing his thing. I love Willie Nelson.
He's coming later this month.
God, he's great. Where's
it's
he?
Better living through you know what.
Where's he playing, Gary?
He's at the Michigan Lottery Amphitheater at Freedom Hill.
Cool.
He's so worth seeing.
If I said it any other way, there'd be a phone call.
Hopefully you get better seats.
Yeah, if you have any inkling to see Willie Nelson, by all means go. It's so worth it. I saw him at the Macomb
Center. It still is worth it. And, you know, you keep telling people better see him now when you can, but it seems like, you know, like Keith Richards, there's never going to be a chance not to see Willie.
He's just so cool, but it can't go on forever. Anyway, Gary, thanks so much, and we'll look forward to hearing about the Seeger Show when you do see it, and have a great weekend.
Sounds great. You guys too.
All righty.
Thanks, Gary.
All right. Gary.
Bye. Why don't we pull up the Mystify trailer? Michael Hutchence from NXS.
We couldn't talk to him earlier, who he was interviewing.
Who was he?
Who he was interviewing, I just am always.
Do you know who?
No, I don't know.
Oh.
I mean, he's mysterious.
It's a fake window.
Where's this documentary airing? Do we know yet?
It's going to be in the theaters real fast, he said. It'll land on one of the, probably Netflix or something. To understand it.
You know when there's one person in the room that has a special light, that was him.
He was the complete package.
And everyone wanted a piece of him.
Michael always had that aura about him.
If you're a sensual being, all of your senses need stimulation. A lot of it was based around pleasure, let's face it.
And he loves his hair.
I don't like the idea of goals. I don't like the idea of success.
He actually wanted to be an artist.
I think it confused him whether he wanted to take on being Michael Hutchence.
It started to take its toll on him.
We were riding home on our bikes. This insane taxi driver got out of his car and punched him.
What conflict?
From the get-go, Michael was kind of different. I just thought it was incredible.
Oh, that's right, because he got injured when he fell.
Lost hearing in one ear, I think.
This is not the Michael that I know.
He was a shy kid.
Ooh, I love this song.
He didn't want to walk into a room full of people, let alone see him.
anticipation, anxiety attack.
I remember asking Michael what his definition of rock and roll was. He said...
What did he say?
Passion.
Liberation.
Of course that's Bono.
Liberation.
Sometimes your stars line up and everything in life clicks. And sometimes you're fighting against nature itself.
Didn't picture he and Bono being buddies, but they were.
Yeah.
Are his hands ever off his hair?
No. He's so hot.
Did they? Oh, yeah. No, I'll admit it. I'll admit it.
I thought the band was great, though.
Did they ever find the cab driver?
I don't think so.
Really?
Not that I know of. I don't know. But, yeah, there's a lot about that. I don't know if that's being overplayed. Probably.
Fans are here!
Do they do a reenactment of his death?
I don't know. I've just
Who'd they hire to beat off?
I've just seen the trailer. It would certainly be no. They probably
question.
Do one. It's probably like way out of focus, but you see something. And,
oh, so it's Steven Weber doing it?
Maybe Steven Weber with a wig. Be hot.
Have you seen any of the Netflix remastered documentaries that I was telling you about?
I
the
haven't.
One about the Lion Sleeps Tonight.
Yeah, I keep seeing that one up there, and I want to see
the
it.
Sheriff.
Because yeah, that song has been around and around and around. It's made a ton of money, and I know it's an interesting story. But I just
There's
want
also
to
one about Johnny Cash and Richard Nixon.
Oh wow!
Yeah, that looked like fun too. In Excess, what I think upsets me about In Excess is that band was great.
Oh my god! Yeah,
I mean he was the vocalist and he was hot and drew a lot of attention to him. But that was a smoking band. The Ferris Brothers were great musicians and they were the ones coming up with the melodies and the hooks and. They kicked ass.
Did. Hey, the song we were trying to think of the other night was New Sensation.
Oh, yeah, New Sensation. Well, Kick. The album Kick had multiple songs.
That was a great album.
The One Thing's a great song. Devil Inside.
Oh, Devil Inside.
Suicide Blonde was a great song. I saw them in Phoenix, and they opened with Suicide Blonde. So that led to the conversation, why don't any of the rock stations play In Excess? Because they don't.
I don't know. I know they are so good.
You know, it was really weird while we were having that conversation. For some reason, I was looking at my phone. I think it was on Rolling Stone. And there was a thing on John Mellencamp. I was like, wait a second. I don't think Wheels plays John Mellencamp, do they?
I think so.
Is he disappeared from the format? Or does CSX play him? Somebody...
Yeah.
You mean tell me John Mellencamp has been banned? John Mellencamp, Bruce Springsteen, In Excess, David Bowie, Talking Heads, Police. Who else can I name that
U2.
Is not played? U2 barely played. Coldplay not played. That's a lot of big bands.
I heard Police on Wheels. I was telling you that.
Yeah, Police. Oh, yeah. Police get a couple tracks. They do.
Right.
I mean, isn't that kind of strange that all these giant acts,
a huge segment.
And I understand moving away from the Beatles, Stones, Who, because they're so far back now. But
well, Stones are on Wheels.
Led Zeppelin gets still a lot of play, but I think anything that primarily happened in 60s to early 70s, and you don't, you know, solo Beatles, you know, it's true. They are more oldies. They're on stations like OMC. McCartney and Lennon songs and Harrison songs.
It's disturbing.
I know. It disturbs me, too, because why wouldn't Revolution fit on a rock station?
Oh, hell yeah.
Or Helter Skelter.
Oh, God,
I don't get it. I mean, I heard Motley Crue Helter Skelter on a radio station. It wasn't here. And I was like, wait, they'll play Motley Crue. They probably didn't even play the Beatles version.
No.
Which is killer. Yeah. But I don't. In Excess, I don't get that's it. First of all, the tempo's great.
Yeah.
And to me, LLZ, I think they would sound good on LLZ because LLZ is very much, there's a lot of tempo on that station. I've definitely noticed that. I don't know if I'm crazy.
Yeah, no,
I feel
you're not.
It.
No, there is a very, like, happening thing going on.
But Mellencamp, is he moved to, like, the OMCs and the ACs? Is that what happened to him?
I think so, yeah.
Why? He's a rocker. I think he's a rocker.
I think people have an association with him, and I don't know what that is, but
I don't get it. Yeah, Jack and Diane.
Now, this one is played too much.
This is the only one that I ever really remember hearing. This one in the little pink houses or whatever.
Yeah, pink houses.
This is officially a hand
Lonely
clap
Lonely All Night. Get a Leg Up.
Clap, is it?
I know there's a bunch more. There's like 10 tracks.
Yeah.
Wait, Rain and the Scarecrow. What was?
We were playing one of them yesterday. I'd never heard before, and he is an extremely talented musician.
Oh, yeah. It was What If I Came Knocking.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great song.
Do you know where all the baby watermelons go in the summertime? John Cougar's Melon Camp.
Hey.
You ever heard that stupid joke?
Yeah, a million years ago.
What? What are you talking about? That's a great joke.
Oh, my God.
Did it? They go to Melon Camp.
Yeah, this
baby
is a great
watermelons.
Song. This is actually
so goofy.
That's my contribution.
Human Wheels, this is from. Human Wheels is a good record. It was kind of a little past his zenith, but I think it was 94.
92.
Okay.
Is he past his zenith? Because he's still pretty.
Oh,
he's a pretty tortured artist still. So.
I just thought, you know, when I
remember when he came in the studio?
Oh, yeah.
He smoked a pack.
Yeah, he was. He collapsed when he was on that studio tour. He did get to riff, though. And Riff had recordings of him doing three or four songs in the studio. He sounded fantastic, but he was eating a lot of junk food,
yeah.
And he smoked and drank a lot.
Right.
And I think he just crapped out in somebody's radio studio, and they put him in the hospital, and they're like, hey, John, could you eat some fruit occasionally or something?
Yeah. And he powered through and came to us.
Yes.
Were you guys going through his songs when I was in the bathroom? Is that what you were talking about?
I was talking about a few of them. Wild Nights, another one.
It's a good song. I hate Small Town, though. Did you mention Small Town?
I didn't mention Small Town, but that was a hit.
Sucks. I know.
R.O.C.K. in the USA was a big hit.
Well, Jack and Diane.
Jack and Diane was a huge hit.
Yeah, but it sucks.
I don't hate it. I've just heard it a million times.
Yeah.
I mean, Pink Houses I've heard a million times, too. But
that's great.
What do they play on rock radio in Detroit that you haven't heard a million times?
Squire. Deep Squire.
Deep Squire.
It just seems to me there's a number of acts where, and I put U2 and Bruce Springsteen in this category of people. Those are two of the biggest acts in the history of rock and roll. There's no argument there. You'd be like, I hate him. I hate that band. Well, okay, but they still sell out the biggest arenas everywhere in the world. They do the biggest tours in the world, and they've sold lots of records. So somebody likes them.
Well,
you can't just say everyone hates Bruce Springsteen, everyone hates you two, or Detroit hates them both, because they fill the house here just like they do everywhere else.
Songs don't test.
Oh, God.
There's Billy.
Yeah, that's, well, you know,
Billy.
Radio can keep saying these things, but it just seems to me radio, it's probably not a bad time to try something new. Just seems to me.
God, I really want
to. All the erosion going on, especially in the revenue department. I think they'd want to try something new, but whatever. I'll keep to myself.
Sure.
God.
Did you text somebody at Wheels yesterday?
I did. Yes, I did.
Keeping it to yourself.
Let me see. Well,
what?
I don't want to make anything too public.
What happened?
I think, well, no, about NXS and John Mellencamp.
Oh.
And I got no answer on NXS.
Whoa.
So maybe that was his way of not insulting me. John Mellencamp, though, I think the word was that he's more of an AC act now.
Right.
I guess. So our
just write back, stay in your lane.
No, he didn't. It's kind of a running joke at this point. Our beloved studio sponsors and friends at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsInTheD.com are smack dab in the middle of their Jeep celebration event, and they're excited for you to be a part of it. During the Zot Jeep celebration event, lease a new 19 Jeep Compass Limited at $188 a month. You can lease a new 19 Jeep Grand Cherokee for just $277 a month, or if you would be more of the Ram truck type, how about leasing a new 19 Ram Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4 as low as $169 a month? Better still, how about 0% financing on all 2018 Ram heavy duties in stock? As you can see, Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram is kicking off this hot summer with a bang, so take advantage of these deals right now. And get Dr. Roche ready to go, because I got to mention Hull Financial First, the top mortgage company in Michigan for client service and big supporters of our show. David Hull and Hull Financial are the team to go to if you're looking to purchase a home or do a refi. They've done a lot of refis with our people, and everyone's been really happy, save money, found money, because you figure your mortgage, oh, I'm paying that for 30 years. Well, what if it was $150 lower every month for 30 years? Wouldn't that be kind of nice?
Yeah.
Or for 25 years, or what do you have left? They have over 500 five-star reviews because they always put you first, because they have better options, lower payments, and more personal attention. Hey, I got it right.
Hey.
I think I got one word wrong in there, but basically you got the point. 72% is referral for Hall Financial's business because realtors trust them and their clients love them. We get phenomenal response on Hall Financial. Go to drewandmike.hallfg.com or call 248-308-5000 or go to our website, Drew and Mike Show. Click the link, fill out the online form. They'll get back to you, but fast. You won't be disappointed with Hall Financial, NMLS number 1467435. Set hut!
Once you get your house and your car in order, you should get your body in order, too. Coming up for Father's Day, a lot of dad bod treatments to slick your guy out. And why should dudes be left out?
Daddy.
Moms, Mother's Day had its run in May. So it's Father's Day.
I wish I had a father.
All surgical and non-surgical procedures for your dad the entire month of June. And it's also wedding season upon us. And the best way to look fresh for your big day is with Dr. Roche. Brides, moms of brides, grooms.
I'd be my own fantasy, man.
Members of the bridal party, special discounts on all surgical, non-surgical procedures all month long, the month of June. Injectable specials, buy one syringe of Restylane, get $100 off the second syringe, buy two areas.
Sir.
I don't know where he's going to put it, though.
it's up to him.
Two areas of Botox or Dysport, get $100 off the third area. That takes away some of those deep wrinkles and the stuff in your forehead that you get from everyday life. And also, don't forget the Diva Special. Three Diva treatments, regular $4,500 for $3,850.
Yes, sir.
I know, he loves that. He can't get one.
Plus, you just see me
have
sex with myself.
Oh, get out of here, creep.
A free G-Spot. And for Dad's 360 lipo for your arms, your back, your abdomen, and thighs and body type for everybody on almost every part of your body. Tightens things up, makes you look really, really sleek and nice. Dr. Roche, consultations at 248-338-1110 or go to droche.com. And if you want to page through some of the improvement pictures, as Drew was doing the other day.
Or if you just want to look at some people that look really good in the after picture.
Yeah. And the miracle of having your body.
Pretty sweet.
Retuned.
D-R-O-C-H-E. And, well, the true crime department. Now, you know what? Actually, I want to talk about the basketball game first. And not so much about the basketball game.
There's two ridiculous things going on with the crowd here.
There's so many ridiculous things going on. I can hardly handle it. Well, there was the Metallica National Anthem, which was nice.
That was really good.
It was cool.
It was.
Yeah, I thought maybe just do that from now on.
Yes. No more singing of the anthem.
Yeah.
Just everybody has to play it on guitars.
Right. Or play it on piano, or Bruce Hornsby did it on piano. I don't know.
No Hornsby.
I don't know.
Just do it something. I don't know.
Just
people
like Santana
it.
Or Metallica. Just do it that
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
This whole thing about Beyonce and Jay-Z. I was on Twitter last night. And you can play it over me. Okay. It's pretty cool. Beyonce and Jay-Z are sitting on the court, courtside seats.
Right.
They were given to the seats by the owner of the Warriors. Huh. The owner and his wife are sitting next to Beyonce and Jay-Z. The owner's wife is talking to Jay-Z over Beyonce. Now, today she said, because she's getting death threats.
Oh, my God.
And a lot more. She shut down her Instagram.
What?
Because Beyonce looks pissed in the pictures. Now, people are claiming Beyonce shoved her. Did she really? She shoved
her? There's a slight little shove, yeah.
What?
Are you fucking kidding me?
That's what it seems, yeah.
Is she now, out of her mind?
Now, the owner's wife said, and what's her name? Do we know her name?
I can't remember, but.
I'm sorry, he's not an owner. The CEO, what do they call him?
I don't know. I thought he was one of the owners.
In the NBA? No, there's no owners in the NBA. What are they called?
Whatever.
Nicole Curran is her name, but she said that...
They gave them the seats. The seats were their seats. They were treating Jay-Z and Beyonce to courtside seats.
She was simply offering Jay-Z a drink when she couldn't hear what he wanted. That's what she said happened.
You don't lean
she was talking
over
to him.
Beyonce.
She said, I've been...
Oh, give me a break.
I've been cyberbullied.
Who the fuck is she? Why? So she shoved someone who gave them courtside seats? Really? Mm. Why is this woman the awful person? Because she dared to talk to Jay-Z. And by the way, somebody put up today, and I had to laugh, Beyonce talking to Jake Gyllenhaal over Jay-Z.
Ooh.
Yes. Yes. And Jay-Z didn't look very happy either, by the way.
Here's some of the responses she got.
I guess it's wrong to be talked over.
I would leave the earth if Beyonce looked this ready to smack me.
I thought that was hilarious.
How you hover over Beyonce like that? Is she crazy? Who's the bitch annoying Beyonce?
Bitch is Beyonce.
I swear Beyonce's look like she's about to smack a bitch up during game three. Beyonce is about to kill this woman. Could you imagine sitting next to Beyonce and not trying to talk to Beyonce instead? Oh!
She did talk to Beyonce, by the way. People just posted this picture over and over, and then this shove. I didn't really see a shove. Is it really a shove?
Yeah, it looked pretty vicious.
Look, here's the shove.
Stab her.
I mean, are you serious? I mean, are you serious or are you kidding?
Yeah, no. Watch how hard she shoves her.
Right.
She says, "Watch.
Hold on. Wait for it."
Hear that face.
You can hear her say, "Like Diet Coke with lime." Right there.
Oh, did you see that? It was sly. It was a good move.
Shoving.
She dipped that shoulder.
It's not a shove.
She dipped her shoulder. What are you talking about? We just saw it.
Well, if she shoved her, then she's a bigger cunt than she already is if she's really mad. I can't believe Beyonce.
She's invading her space.
I cannot believe. Well, Beyonce did it with Jake Gyllenhaal. She did the exact same thing.
Yeah, but we're talking about last night.
That's different.
They gave him the seats. They shouldn't accept the seats if they're not willing to talk to the person.
No, she'll talk to her. She doesn't want her space invaded.
Hey, she's like the Queen of England. You don't touch her in certain ways. You don't talk over her, and you can't walk in front or
behind. Did she really shove her? I swear, I can't tell. I don't think so either.
It didn't look like it.
But people are insisting she shoved her, and they're like, good for her.
No.
I'm like, no, Beyonce is the one. If anybody's a bitch here, it's Beyonce. And I don't understand, why doesn't Beyonce come out and say, look, I did not shove her, and they gave us the seats.
And Curran's Instagram page was immediately filled with emojis of bees, which represent the beehive.
So that's what was going on.
That was the threat she received.
Yeah, queen bee. So basically,
no, they weren't all bees. There's numerous threats on there.
I don't know.
Read the Daily Mail story.
Okay. That's what I'm reading.
Beyonce did respond, though. Hold on.
Oh, she did? Okay.
Yeah, here it is. Hold on.
I did not hit her. It's not true. It's bullshit. I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
Hi. Actually, she was saying hi to Mark Jackson there.
Yeah.
Oh.
He was broadcasting the game.
Okay.
This is the biggest non-story in the history of stories.
It's pretty stupid. I just feel like fans have lost their minds. Between the Michael Jackson fans, you know, who want to kill these two guys who were molested by Michael Jackson for years when they were 10 years old, and the way they beat the shit out of them, these stupid Beyonce fans who are acting
Do you think
morons.
It's real though? And I'm just kidding. She did not shove her.
I think some of them are pissed.
Really?
Yeah, I think they are.
Well, they're idiots.
She shut down her Instagram.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, she's so sensitive.
Doesn't want to get shoved again.
I thought it was very amusing. I laughed.
It's very funny.
But honestly, fans are just stupid now.
Yeah.
And these people that ask for their, like R. Kelly, I need my fans to support. Fuck you. Why do you mean you need your fans to support? You're pissing in girls' mouths who are 12, 14 years old, and the fans support him. And they show up and they want selfies, and they want to give them their phone numbers. What kind of fucking madness? Because you like someone's music? You're going to just act like a complete moron? I mean, honestly, it just seems like there's so much stupidity going on. And then to add to the stupidity, Lowry falls into the front row trying to save a ball. And one of the Warriors' part-time owners is sitting in the front row there. And he gives him a shove.
Whoa, another shove.
Another shove. Well, this is a real shove, yeah. I think. I didn't really think Beyonce shoved her. I never thought that, although people kept insisting she did. And so he's been banned for the rest of the series.
What?
He's an owner of the team.
Well, he was banned immediately. You know, they took him out, and then they find out that he's, you know, a minority owner. And so they're like, what do we have to do? So the NBA has banned him from all NBA events.
Wait, he's a minority?
He's a minority owner of the Warriors.
You mean he's a minority, or he's just a owner
of less
He owns
a smaller share okay. of the team.
He's a white guy.
Yeah.
Okay, when you said minority, I just think of a minority.
Yeah, but minority owners. It means you have a smaller share.
Well, the word minority gets used a lot these days. I wasn't sure what you meant.
That's really the way when you heard minority owner, you
no,
thought
No, I would
was
think it was somebody who owned 3% of the team or something, but I just, I wasn't sure because I thought I saw a white guy.
Here's the group of minority owners.
He is white. But now it's reached another level because LeBron James has weighed in.
Yes, and LeBron
very,
James
very upset.
LeBron James said something about privilege not welcome here, as if this is his white privilege shoving. Isn't that what he means?
I didn't see him say that. I was just reading
his comments. Hashtag privilege not welcome here.
Oh, stay out of it, LeBron. You're not in.
Well, no. Protect the players was his other hashtag.
LeBron.
I didn't like his, he's an idiot, but what privilege? I mean, the only thing I associate that is with white privilege.
Well, if you read the whole post, it's about being about sitting on the, you know, sitting courtside.
I read the whole thing,
but when you say privilege, I think that has a certain meaning, and you have a white person who shoves a black guy, and it kind of implies that his using his white privilege to shove a black guy. I don't know. I didn't read it like that.
Maybe it's just the privilege of sitting in that
role. That's kind of how I read that. Yeah.
I've never really had the privilege.
I've never heard the word privilege so much in my life. Honestly.
That's because you celebrate it yourself. You lived it every day. So.
I heard it as a kid. But, I mean, honestly, the whole white privilege thing is, you know, admit your white privilege.
Well, because he says in there he knew the rules more than just the average person sitting watching the game courtside. That's why I took it as he meant the privilege. But, you know, I could be wrong, maybe.
I don't know. I really don't know.
I remember the privilege word being used a lot when I was younger, too, and it was mostly when they were taken away.
Yes, exactly. No, I never knew it this way. But I just thought, does LeBron really need to speak out on this? Is this something that he was needed for?
Oh, he's just trying to get
it. Is there some debate over whether this was right for this man to shove the player? I mean, I don't think there was much doubt about it.
Isn't it like, you know, he's not invited to the party, so he feels like he needs to.
Well, as he said in the post, and this is a quote, I've been quiet throughout the whole NBA playoffs watching every game. I think he meant quiet. But after I saw what I saw last night, took time to let it manifest into my thinking. I couldn't. And wouldn't be quiet on this.
Thank God he broke his silence.
Well, you know,
two,
I got to say, though.
Not three, not four.
Who runs the NBA more than LeBron James? It's not Adam Silver. It's nobody else. He runs that league.
LeBron James.
I mean, his voice carries far more weight than any other player.
Didn't Beyonce look hot, though?
She looked good.
She looked good.
She looked like Beyonce. I mean, she didn't look any different than she usually does.
Yeah,
I thought she looked like a bitch, though. She looked like she didn't want anything to do with this
when she
person
shoved her?
Talking. Yeah, when she shoved her. No, she looked like she had a stink. I mean, she looked like she was making an evil eye.
Personal space is being invaded.
I just think she had a resting bitch face.
Yeah.
It was unintentional. The lady, you could clearly read her lips. She's basically confirming his drink order.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, no harm,
no
foul.
She's being a nice host.
What's happening is people are just skewing it. And she's got rabid fans. They love her.
I know, but it's great to be a fan, but you have to be an idiot about it? I mean, these are adults. These aren't 12 or 13-year-olds. These are people. I was on Twitter last night. I'm not kidding. You would not believe the post. People really think this chick is, like, making moves on Jay-Z.
Yeah, I know.
But I don't think they really were. Some of them were clearly a joke, but some were not joking.
Is there really an expectation that if you sit courtside, you're always on camera?
Are you saying that she shouldn't have asked him for his drink order?
Not at all.
No,
I'm
he's talking about Beyonce.
Beyonce's face, does she have to put a fake smile on the entire game?
No, yes. No, I don't think she does. But she looked like she was miserable.
Yeah, she does, because she's Beyonce. She's always on camera.
But she only looks miserable for like 1.6 seconds. That
it's because of her personal space.
It's bookended by big smiles on her face.
Well, wouldn't it make sense for Beyonce to say, hey, would you guys cut it out? This is ridiculous.
I don't know. Not if you're really that mad.
Well, that's why I kind of wondered.
You want your personal space. Brandon, start invading his personal
space. They gave them courtside seats, and the woman had the audacity to ask for a drink order.
Brandon, lean over. Talk to Zoovs. Lean over Drew. Invade his personal space.
See how it
feels. I'll take a picture of it.
Well, if you ask me what I want to eat, I'll be fine with it.
No, he's asking Zeus what Zeus wants over you.
Okay. If he asked me first, she was getting drink orders from both of them because they don't have the waiter service.
Wait,
at that
why
stadium.
Wouldn't they?
I wondered the same thing.
Owner's
actually,
wife.
That's the biggest violation. Why wouldn't courtside seats have the wait staff?
Why wouldn't they all? Why wouldn't they know what Jay-Z wanted too?
I have a feeling.
Exactly.
I have a feeling the owner does probably have it, and she was just taking their order. But what she meant was waiters don't come down to every person like they do at the palace. They used to do that.
God, that was great.
Is it weird that
it was nice?
Is it weird that we know more about the owner's wife than we do who actually owns the team? Who does own the? I have no idea who owns the Warriors.
I saw both of them on a piece. I'm not sure what it was on, but they were talking
on Real Sports about stadiums.
Yeah,
yeah.
They're not taking a cent in public money.
No, very likable in that regard.
And I still haven't gotten over this thing with District Detroit. I think it's so dumb. Mm-hmm. I just cannot believe their response to it. More than anything, I cannot believe no comment. And then, we've given all this money over all this time. We've fulfilled our obligation. Fuck you.
You know,
pretty much what they said.
Back to the problem with the minority owner that shoved Lowry. How are they going to resolve that? Should they just put up a giant fence around the court? Or will then they be perceived as caged animals?
No, well, when somebody gets injured by a player, then they'll put up a fence.
People have been, remember Rodman kicked that guy in the balls, the cameraman? Yeah. There's been people that have been injured by someone flying into the crowd.
Nobody was injured until Rodman kicked him in the balls.
But you need a clear demarcation line.
I've never heard of anyone getting really injured badly by an NBA player.
I got so many belt threats.
I don't know. They're going to have to put something up around. Have to cage him in. That's the big draw to basketball, is that you can be courtside. God, you better be paying attention.
I really don't think they will. Then, finally, I mean, we're not even talking about the game. The game really wasn't that great a game, although Curry had 47 points, which is
so good.
He was amazing. This guy on TV in Canada is being interviewed by, there's a bunch of fans and some reporters interviewing him, and he says, Ayesha Curry, we're going to fuck her in the pussy. And I immediately thought, okay, this is fake. Am I the only one who thought it was fake?
Oh,
well, it's a meme.
It's not fake.
Yeah.
But every time I see it, it is fake.
Oh,
it's
fuck
like
her in the
pussy. The middle of a story, and it's like, hey, wait, I know that story. I could have sworn I saw this story. I don't remember me yelling, I'm going to fuck her in the pussy.
Yeah, you're right. I know what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah. And so Ayesha Curry, I'm going to fuck her in the pussy. We're going to fuck her in the pussy. I'm thinking, that can't be real, but it was real. And now that guy's arrested.
Guys are down in Jurassic Park, right? What was it like down there?
The vibe was unreal. I just want to let everyone know, Ayesha Curry, we're going to fuck her in the pussy.
I'm so sorry about that. I'm going to apologize.
Oh, my God.
What did the reporter say after that?
She apologized.
Guys are down in Jurassic Park, right? What was it like down there?
The vibe was unreal. I just want to let everyone know, Ayesha Curry, we're going to fuck her in the pussy.
I got to say, great work by that cameraman. So you see how quick he got off that guy?
Yeah.
What's he arrested for?
Criminal mischief, I think they called it.
Is that a Canadian? If he was,
I don't know.
If this was in America, would that be different?
I don't think he'd arrest.
Canadians are not permitted to
put a live mic in front, buddy. I think it's your responsibility.
I have a long shot phone number for him. You want to try him?
Sure, Tristan.
Yeah,
Tristan Workin. He blamed it on alcohol, which was I thought that was smart. I couldn't believe how poorly Golden State played. I thought they made a lot of bad passes in that game.
I don't know.
They kept trying alley-oops, and they kept trying to get it to Cousins when he wasn't open. It was really strange. They were off. And they're missing two starters, so I guess it's understandable.
Yeah, but Toronto was hitting everything.
They were. They were hot. Never drop the ball. Fuck are y'all thinking? Making sure the young
money ship is never sinking. About to set it off in this gotta hate Drake.
It seemed like Golden State had a lot of turnovers in the game. I don't know what the totals were, but there were just a lot of the game was moving so fast, which is fun. I love watching a game like that, but I thought they made a lot of bad passes on offense, trying to get the ball inside, especially. Cousins was worthless in that game, absolutely worthless.
It's amazing. Draymond, he's either really good or really bad.
Yeah, he was bad. So I guess we'll play game four when next week sometime?
Actually, tomorrow, surprisingly.
It is tomorrow?
Yeah, Friday night.
Really? When's game five? Sunday night?
July 8th.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know when it is.
Let me know when we're within a week of it.
Probably Sunday, wouldn't you think? Because Sunday night? Isn't that a big revenue night?
I would think it'd be Sunday night. And then they'll wait for Wednesday.
Probably, yeah.
Kellen Winslow trial, by the way. Has there been a verdict? Last I heard, they were still deliberating for the third day. And the jurors wanted the satellite map of the day Kellen Winslow Jr. exposed himself to victim number three. They had his GPS and his route on his bicycle, which was to her house.
Huh.
And they wanted a satellite map, and they said, no, there's no satellite map entered in. We can't have that. So,
bike do you have?
I was reading more about it today. I was just getting so annoyed because he's such a monster. He really is. And, you know, the prosecution was closing with all the usual, you know, Winslow's a perverted monster. He preys on vulnerable women for sexual pleasure, forced, which is how he likes it. And the defense was saying he's a victim of wrongful accusations and mistaken identity. And of course, mistaken identity is very easy to say because his appearance has been completely altered from when this happened.
Yeah.
And then they also said the rapes were consensual encounters. So if he was so innocent, I don't understand why he didn't testify in his own defense.
Yeah.
I don't understand why juries can't use that against people, because I sure as hell would, if somebody accused me of a crime I absolutely had nothing to do with, I sure wouldn't want to get, I would want to get on the stand and say, hey, I was here. I was there. I was nowhere near there. Ask me anything. You're not going to trap me. But that whole line, I love the line,
doesn't
too.
Doesn't that introduce, well, I mean, I know what you're saying, but doesn't that introduce then like all the police questioning of you?
Yeah, that's the problem.
So you'll end up slipping up and perjuring yourself.
They were afraid he was going to screw up, because of what they're saying, which is not true. You know, he's out on bail.
If you're consistent.
He was out on bail, and he's arrested for exposing himself and masturbating 18 inches from a 78-year-old woman. That was when they didn't want to let him out on bail. They fought it vociferously, but because he's Kellen Winslow Jr., they were able to make bail.
Yeah.
Which is bullshit. I mean, four women, three rapes, and you let him out on bail, and he goes and does that. And by the way, they said that was mistaken identity. And also, they threw in, you know how they start throwing everything at the wall just to fuck up the case? Uh-huh. They said, how could she see he was masturbating under the bubbles?
Jesus Christ.
In the hot tub.
I thought he wasn't. I thought he went off and like.
No, they said he was doing something. She noticed he was doing something.
The Star Chamber needs to get after judges that do that, because that's kind of causing more harm to other people.
This is an all-star defense team that Winslow's hired. So these guys are really good, and they tried to beat up every woman on the stand, including the first rape victim.
She sounded like a bad witness anyway.
Well, she was a bad witness because she's homeless and she's an alcoholic, and she was not proud of her alcoholism, and she didn't want to admit to being an alcoholic, and she had been telling people that she quit drinking. Ooh. And she had arrests for public intoxication since the time she told the defense attorney that she had quit drinking. So the other thing was he went over led her over a fence, and he was nude, which is like, wait, he's climbing over a fence nude?
Oh,
that's
my God.
Pretty weird.
Wow.
And they said she should have run away. If it wasn't consensual, she would have run away. She said she feared him and thought, well, he'll just jump back over and get me. But in other words, she shouldn't have gone over the fence. Mm. If she didn't want to have sex with him, if she went over the fence, she must have wanted sex.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Again.
And she said, this is a big man, and he's nude, and I was afraid of him. And so, you know, I did what he said.
Wetzel, by the way, was on Outside the Lines after we talked to him.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, which we were talking about. Why isn't Outside the Lines covering this? They're clearly listening to the podcast.
The daughter of Jane Doe 1 also set up a GoFundMe for $50,000. The daughter of Jane Doe 1 actually fucked her up as a witness as much as anything, because she set up this GoFundMe.
So it made him look like they wanted money.
Yeah. And that's part of the defense, is that this is about money. And no one has made any money or has made any effort to make any money. I don't even know how you make money on this, but I love how
people... Can you sue him civilly after he's found guilty?
You could.
How? That's assuming
but
how.
That's the big response. Oh, they just want money and fame.
Yeah.
You know, it's just...
No one ever thinks about it.
To get all... And I think a lot
why would you want to be famous for being raped by a has-been tight end?
I know. When you're 78 years old, you're going to get famous by having a...
For the 78-year-old, that's kind of flattering.
Mark...
I'm just saying. I wouldn't want it to happen to my parent, my mom. It would be kind of flattering. I mean, he's risking bail, Trudy, to beat off in front of
climbing a fence nude.
The rape is a little different.
Well, the 78-year-old was absolutely frightened by him. You know, you would figure some 70-year-old lady's in a hot tub at a health club. She thinks she's safe. By the way, I don't know why the health club lets him in there.
Yeah.
He's on trial for... assaulting four women, and they let him in a health club.
They probably didn't know.
He's Kellen Winslow Jr. I mean, it seems pretty stupid to me. I heard that they actually were considering banning him, and I didn't know if that was for something else he did or if it's just because of the circumstances, but they had
all
not banned him. Hmm. And then, so anyway, no verdict yet. How long can it take to get a verdict for this? I was kind of pissed.
Well, how many counts are they looking at, too?
Yeah,
they
there's
could just
multiple
be hung
counts.
Up on one.
They have a lot of decisions.
I'm going to go in front of the Star Chamber.
Yes.
And then
so much easier.
It is.
The, The Cipriano story was back in the news because, and the Cipriano story was this family in Farmington Hills, and they had an adopted son who had a terrible drug problem. And one night, he and a friend came over, decided they wanted to steal money for drugs, and they killed the father with a baseball bat, almost killed the mother with a baseball bat, almost killed a brother with a baseball bat, and the young daughter, who was, I think was 8 years old, she hid. And
witnessed
the,
all of this.
The twin brother of the brother who was beaten senseless, in fact, had brain damage, he hid in a closet and called 911. 911 showed up, arrested the friend, and Tucker Cipriano got away, but they arrested him the next day. And the two of them said the other did it. He did it. I didn't do it. You know, they both tried to blame the other one. Both of them got life in prison. Yeah. But meanwhile, Sal Cipriano was left with serious brain damage. They said he would never walk or talk. He's now not only walking, he's running throughout the first pitch of the Tigers game, plays softball. They showed a clip of him hitting balls into a cage. I thought he looked pretty good. Yeah. Had a pretty nice swing.
They have a run every year for him.
Yeah, that's what they were doing. The 5K. And in fact, what's the website? Oh, CiprianoClassic.com. I'm sure you can donate there if you want to. And he's got, of course, horrible medical bills. And he cannot speak yet. He speaks through a phone, but he cannot initiate sounds. You know, he's, that part of his brain just isn't working. But they said his personality is there. It's just in his voice that comes out of his phone. It's really strange. But he's honestly done really well. But that was, I got to say, that was one of the most horrifying stories in all the time we've been here. That story was so awful because the parents sounded like the nicest people. And the son who tried to kill them both and did kill the father, he even said when he was sentenced that they both had done everything they could for him.
He was adopted.
Yeah, he was adopted. So. He was 4 days old. He had problems from almost day one. He had depression very early on in life and terrible drug problems, and they had him in rehab. They did everything they could for him, and he does that. Real piece of shit.
Tim Segrist was one of the first on the scene.
He was?
Well, see, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was, I felt horrible for them, but also people, first responders.
Oh,
I don't know how first responders do it.
Yeah.
The shit they see.
And Tucker Cipriano, by the way, had originally confessed, but he was on K2. He had been smoking K2. And also doing mushrooms when he waived his Miranda rights. They tried to get that thrown out. He pled not guilty originally. And his uncle, his father's brother, the brother of the man he killed, begged him to plead guilty and take responsibility for the first time in his life. And they had this conversation, you know, the transcript, and it was incredible. It's like, don't lay that on me, man. You know, the guy that killed his father's name. Don't lay that on me, man. And, you know, a lot of bullshit. But then his brother, the twin of the brother he gave brain damage to, he came in and I guess he talked him into it.
Wow.
And he did plead guilty. So I don't know what that tool is. I mean, it's amazing. It's so weird for me to think about that. 19 years old. Bye. Mm-hmm.
Good reason, though.
Channel 4 did the update on him and said that I think it said the mom still is in contact with him in prison.
Family's amazing.
Through letters, so.
But I thought about the reason that story really hit me when I read it this morning was because this Leslie Van Houten, she's the one they denied parole to, the governor did. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know what? 50 years from now, I don't give a fuck what anybody says. I would never let this guy out.
No.
I would never let him out. And I don't know why they ever let any of these Manson chicks out. Why? For what? So they can have a few years. They're really not a threat anymore. So what?
Well, I think devil's advocate is because they were under the hypnotic trance of Charles
Manson.
Well,
then they might get under the influence of somebody else.
Yeah, but Manson's dead now.
I understand. There's plenty of Mansons out there. Look at all the cults.
They're malleable. They should stay in.
Yeah, I don't know why anybody wants to go, let's see if they can last the rest of their life without doing that again. Why should we bother?
We shouldn't. Hey, the Dominican Republic deaths
were
all over this morning. That was the biggest
thing on Good Morning America. They monopolized the first part of segment of their show.
It's such an insane story because everybody goes on vacation at some point. You know, you go to Hawaii or you go here or you go to Jamaica.
It could have been me.
What? Did you go to the Dominican Republic?
I did. I went to the Dominican. I was sick, too, after I came home. I was terribly sick.
Uh-oh. Really?
Like that could
get her out of here.
I don't remember that illness. Are you exaggerating?
No. No. I was.
Did you miss work?
No. I was on vacation, so I was using up vacation time.
Oh. But it was miserable. You had to use up vacation time because you were sick?
Well, I...
Was this at Riff?
No, later.
Okay.
So when I came back, I had a few days to recuperate, but it was horrible because...
What kind of an illness was it?
It was gastrointestinal.
Oh diarrhea. Sorry.
Sweet.
It's really a diarrhea.
It was horrible.
At least you're alive.
It
Those was people
me. It could have been me.
It could have been you. I had a could have been me today, too.
What?
The big story about the doctor in Ohio.
Is that actual audio of Trudy?
Yeah, it's her diarrhea.
I didn't know anybody, I didn't know you recorded that, Trudy. That was really cool.
That could have been her.
Like, that could have been me.
That's like a doctor's note. She had to record it to give the station to prove that she was sick.
Oh, I didn't never done
I would
that
do
before.
That, totally.
Yeah, well, great idea. I think everybody would.
I think it's worth it.
I'll send it to him now.
No, my it could have been me was the Ohio doctor that is charged with 25 counts of murdering patients.
For prescribing fentanyl?
Yeah, for all of them.
Wow.
By the way, you know, part of me goes, were the people in pain? Were all of them in pain? I mean, why did he prescribe fentanyl to them? Were they cancer patients?
Thinking the same thing.
I don't know. I mean, there's some responsibility when you prescribe something if you're legitimately in pain. But
The problem is he prescribed a shit ton of fentanyl.
Okay. Well, that was where I said, you know, you think after like the sixth or seventh person died, you go, maybe I should lay off this fentanyl. Maybe I'm going a little heavy on this.
I know.
When you get to 25, God, 20, the 25th well,
that
died,
that
another
it.
One died.
He likes
Damn it. These people are taking too much at once.
These people.
Everybody on the staff knows it by the sixth or seventh person.
I know.
Person. I get to 25.
I never understand that. It's like the guy that has, you know, four kids by four baby mamas. You know, you go, boy, you'd think after the second one, you'd really use a condom or you'd be cautious.
Well, you wouldn't think it would happen again. What are the odds?
Pretty good, apparently.
It could have happened to Mark.
I could not get over that.
That could have been me.
I was going to say, it could have happened to me because this happened at the hospital that I was born in.
Oh. In Columbus, Ohio.
Mount Carmel. It could have been me 43 years ago.
Well,
even though this doctor's 43.
He would have prescribed you fentanyl, though. I think Trudy's it could have been me is much more.
This guy's outrageous, though, Drew.
Much more legitimate.
Like
than
that could have been me.
That baby doctor could have given me, you know, after I was born, fentanyl and killed me.
No, because I wouldn't even know you're in pain because you don't even know how to say you're in pain.
Well, I cry because I'm a baby.
Listen to Trudy's it could have been me. Play a little more of that. I think it really brings it home.
Oh, how bad was that diarrhea, Trudy? Was it coming out of both ends, too?
Oh,
did you throw up?
No. Okay. It was horrible.
By the way, I hate it when people tell me it's coming out of both ends. It's like, I don't need any detail. Right. If you said you're sick, it's fine. You'd be sick.
Yeah, but if it's
you.
Coming out of both ends, that's worse than one end.
Well, yeah. Because
I feel like if you tell me it's coming out of both ends, that you're really playing up your illness. Maybe you're faking.
Oh, well, that's why you got to record
it. Information.
That was...
Brandon, do you have any audio of it coming out of both ends?
Oh, God.
That sounds like it's coming out of both ends.
You can tell
that could have been me.
You can tell you're sick because your voice is deeper there in the background.
Yeah. Yes. There were eight of us,
terrible.
Though, who went, and it was funny. You know, like one person would go white as a sheet, and then they were sick for the, you know, like 2-3 days. And then the next person,
when you were there?
next person, right. And I had the luck to get sick on the very last day, so I could fly home with that.
I don't understand, you know, when you go somewhere like the Dominican Republic or Jamaica or somewhere, can't they come up with some way to get you to avoid all the things that make people sick who aren't used to living there?
Can't you get water straight? Come on, water.
I know.
Water.
You know, they tell you not to drink the water. And then when I didn't feel well, they said, this is in Jamaica, oh, well, did you drink water? And I was like, no, I didn't drink water. I refused to drink water. And they said, oh, well, did you have a salad? And I said, well, yeah, I had a salad. And they're like, well, they washed the lettuce.
Water,
so
yeah.
I'm like, well, Why would they offer me a salad then?
I don't mean yogurt.
Come on, if it's that simple, if it takes one drop of water to get sick, why would they even offer a salad? I'd rather have it unclean than have your shit water on it. The fuck?
Shit water.
And then you know, this resort, three people die in one resort. Three healthy people in this Colorado couple that almost died. They were incredibly
sick. Those aren't related,
sick.
Though, are they?
Well, no, they're at the same resort, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were the same resort, all five.
No, well, I thought two of them were in Fiji.
There were three people in the Dominican Republic, and then two people in Fiji.
Wait, Fiji, went over. Fiji, the people died, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about people that didn't die. It's a Colorado couple that stayed at the same resort in the Dominican Republic who didn't die, but they almost died. They were incredibly sick.
Yeah. I was just mad that the news connected the two in Fiji to the other. I was like, it's Americans are dying on vacation. It's like, those two really aren't that related.
Did you see the hospital they took them to in Fiji?
No.
No wonder they died. It was like a Coast Guard shack or beach hut.
That really was sad. Fiji, too. And it's something, a place they dreamed of going. Yeah, and
you're so far from home. So far away.
The couple that died, the husband was a doctor.
What kind?
Wow. Oh, no, that was the third woman that died. I'm sorry. The third woman died of a heart attack. It was their wedding anniversary. And she was with her doctor husband. She got a drink from the minibar, went outside, got sick as hell, and died really fast.
Wow.
What the fuck? How does that happen? And the other couple were just in their room, and I guess there was a feeling that maybe it's something in the air conditioning or the heating?
Yeah, they thought some chemical smell or something like that.
Well, I mean, really, is it that hard to figure out someone dies in a room they're in for a few hours? I would think.
Yeah. You know, the one person who
stayed... I wonder how the reviews are on that.
Oh, really? Yeah. Did you see the name of it?
I did, yeah. I'm sure now they're, pretty terrible.
You think?
By the way, they did not... these three people in the same resort die, right? Mm-hmm. They don't inform the other guests.
Oh, that's nice.
It's really nice to know that
it's not like it could have been them or anything.
No, I'm sure. Yeah, nothing about the resort when three people who have nothing wrong with them die.
Okay, let me ask you on the flip side. If you were at that resort, would you want to know?
Hell yes.
You would? Okay.
Absolutely.
I'd be out.
I would not want to stay there. If I knew healthy Americans died.
What if you were already home? Would you want to know?
If I was already home, yeah, I wouldn't care if I was home. Okay. Sure.
But if you were there?
I kind of
sure I want to know.
What my vacation.
What if it's a bug of some kind of parasite?
That could have been me. Yeah.
I would just assume it's something in the resort. It's got to be something in the resort. They're in the resort. They're perfectly healthy. And they die really fast.
How many people stay at that resort?
A lot.
Yeah. It seemed like a pretty ritzy place.
I mean, for a couple to both die at once, I mean, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, I know.
They weren't that old either. They were young. Mm. I mean, that's really weird. The couple in Fiji is very weird, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's really, this is not good for tourism. I would suggest in either place.
I heard Americans are dying on vacation, no matter where you go.
Without taking selfies in precarious places.
I mean.
Usually it's from something they do.
What's really scary, though, is that it just doesn't seem they really want to give you an answer. They don't want to admit they did anything wrong. They're never going to.
Didn't we just go through this with Mexico?
Yes.
So is Mexico okay to go to now?
Not really. Oh. No, there's a lot of crazy shit going on in Mexico. A lot of people are dying in Mexico, but they're kidnapped or carjacked or whatever.
Where can we go on vacation?
Oh, good question.
Canada.
Hawaii.
I think Cabo's still safe, I believe. We're in Cabo.
It's Mexico.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's Cabo.
Does Sammy still own Cabo? Or did he sell it? I thought he sold it.
Oh, Cabo.
I think he still has the restaurant. But he
sold it because he made me do it! Yeah.
Yeah, that's just a really strange story. I don't know what to do with that. But I'm very disinclined to go to the Dominican Republic anytime soon, especially after what happened to Trudy, and the audio is very effective.
You know, the weirdest thing about that is that our friend Donna went with us, and Donna...
Oh, we have audio of Donna, too.
Oh, yeah, Donna's audio is really bad. Oh, don't feel bad about yours. Donna's is worse.
She was completely
Donna.
Completely impervious because she'd been traveling a lot the previous year.
Oh.
And she's a nurse at a hospital. Mm. So we thought possibly what it was is she was exposed to something. She's like, whatever. You know, like, oh, I've immunity. Absorbed that already.
I love that your conversation went that deep.
Donna, I have it coming out of both ends. Why don't you?
Well, because I'm around, I have built immunities. I'm around sick people all the time, Trudy.
And I went to shithole countries, and now I'm immune
maybe
to
she
their
did it
shitty
to you.
Water. She, maybe. Oh, she did it to all of us.
You never know.
Oh, she invited us.
I don't know much about this Donna.
She's trying to kill us all. Donna.
She's a weird fetish of making it come out of both ends.
Joey Fatone divorced his wife after 15 years to trade up.
Yeah, it turns out he wasn't the fat one. What?
What, Kelly Baldwin? Was she heavy?
The picture I saw. Oh, maybe she was pregnant.
I didn't think she looked, I mean.
Really?
Okay, I look at Joey Fat One and I go, okay, I know he's in NSYNC, so he has a lot of money, but who would? Why would some really hot chick, it's sort of like Rob Kardashian and hitting on this, and the comments on this girl's
Instagram. Oh, she's okay, I take it back.
No, don't date him, don't flirt with him. He's a fat ass.
I take it back.
The long face, though.
She doesn't look too bad, but the one picture, this is the picture I saw.
She's with Joey Fatone.
Shirty. I mean, he could do better.
No, well, that's what amazes me, is that he could do better. Because he's, I mean, honestly, if he was not in too. NSYNC, if he wasn't in NSYNC, would any of
no.
either of those girls go near him? No.
Okay,
and the new one, by the way, he's getting divorced, and he has a girlfriend of 4 years. I thought it was kind of weird.
What?
Like, why do you have a girlfriend of 4 years if you're getting divorced?
How's that work?
It's pretty interesting. And the girlfriend is only 33. Isabel Rajo, I think is her name. She's gorgeous.
No way.
Boy, does she have a wreck.
That's his wife from a long time ago.
Wow.
Wait, she had another wife before the...
No. This is the...
When he's divorcing?
When he's divorcing when they first got together. She's pretty hot.
Wow.
Well, the new one's 9 years younger, and she's hotter.
Huh. He just trades up.
But I just was like, why don't this Isabel chick... Couldn't she find somebody rich who isn't Joey Fatone?
Well, is NSYNC still that profitable?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. Is he still with them, by the way? Because he wasn't with them. I saw them on TV, and there was a substitute...
Really?
Yeah, and he was really watching the other guys.
So Timberlake wasn't there and Joey Fatone wasn't
there? Someone observed that he wasn't really doing his job very well.
Oh.
And so I watched him, and he was like watching the other guys move, and he seemed like a little tiny bit behind.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No, it was really funny.
Wow. He's worth $15 million.
What was that on?
I think it was on GMA or...
Why wouldn't he be on there?
I don't think he was. There was four guys, and then there was a sub.
Yeah, well...
Timberlake's not there.
Yeah, Timberlake was gone, and it was...
What percentage of NSYNC do you need to call him NSYNC?
I think if you got 3 out of 5, you're 60%.
Yeah, look, I don't
think
Leonard Skinner, there's only one necessary, right?
Is Fat One, he's still in NSYNC, isn't he?
Well, that's what we're trying to figure out here.
Ariana Grande.
What?
That's what it was. It was just
Coachella. That's Coachella.
That's right.
That's a different thing. This wasn't what I'm talking about.
I've been watching a lot of NSYNC.
Yeah. I'm a big fan.
So it's on GMA?
I'm more into the dancing than the music now.
You noticed that.
Yeah, they've won me over. Did you guys hear Janelle Evans' 911 call?
Oh, yeah.
This is, by the way, okay, Janelle Evans, who calls 911 frequently, she calls when she's beaten up, and then, of course, no, I wasn't beaten up. It's crazy. She calls after her husband called the police to tell them, that if you come on my property, you know, you're going to get shot.
Yeah.
Which, by the way... I don't understand. You can call the police or you can tell the police that I'll shoot you if I come on my property, even if you've done something wrong.
No more 911.
And that's not, it seems to me that there's some kind of a, doesn't it seem like, I mean, I can't imagine calling the police if they were, hey, we need to talk to you about something. And I said, if you come on my property, I'll shoot you. It seems like, isn't that some kind of a violation of something?
Yeah.
I mean, call me crazy. I don't know what it is, but it just seems that you can't tell the police you'll shoot them if they come on your property, especially if they're just coming to talk to you. And also, I wondered if I were to go shoot my dogs, is that's not a crime?
Discharging
a firearm.
I can
just shoot my dogs, and if I go in the backyard, and I don't even like
crime.
This conversation.
Yeah.
That's a crime.
Why is that? Not, why is he not? But he hasn't been charged with that, has he?
Where do they live? I mean, you just can't go out in your backyard and shoot stuff.
He
off.
Did.
Well, he lives in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, but he shot his dog.
Yeah, but
there's no charge for that. I mean, that's to me, first of all, it's no more guns for you, which will never happen. But no, second of all, I didn't realize
it was under,
you could just...
It was under the guise of him protecting his daughter, though.
Yeah, but we know that was not real because we saw the video.
Well, the penalty is that he gets his kids taken away from him. Or his kid taken away from
Well, if you do something that your kid's taken away from you, I would think there would be a charge along with it. Either child abuse or... I just thought if you just shot a dog that's done nothing wrong, that seems like a crime to me. I mean, it should be a crime if it isn't. But anyway, so after...
Oh, he does face jail time.
Oh, he does. Okay.
Well, although it says no charges have been filed.
Oh, that's what I meant.
Made, so.
So after he tells the police, don't come on my property, I'll shoot you... And all his displays on Instagram saying the same thing. She calls the police. Do you have the 911 call, Brandon?
I have two. There's two different ones today. There's the white powder one.
Yeah, the white powder one. Well, let's win both. But I just think it's interesting that, you know, after threatening the police with gunfire, that they're back to calling the police.
No more 911.
Yeah. Ever. No more 911 for you.
No.
Yeah, if you call the police and say someone beat the shit out of you, and then they say, I was just kidding. No more 911 for you.
What's going on? My husband is freaking out. What's
his name?
He's here. David Easton.
David Easton? Yes.
He's outside freaking out because he saw I took his phone. So now he, I have a she shed. And I have a she shed.
What? She
and
shed?
And he fucking...
Ugh.
What's your name, hon?
See, he's outside. He's threatening this.
What's your name?
Janelle Ethan.
Janelle?
Yes.
What's he doing?
He's smashing our front door right now. Trying to
great
inside.
Guy.
Just today?
I'm upstairs in my attic. My daughter's in the bedroom sleeping.
Well, must not be.
Oh, and, daughter's there.
He said I locked him out and took his phone. Oh. He's outside looking for his phone after.
Oh, this is the Christmas call.
Oh, this isn't the one where he broke her collarbone. This is a different one.
I don't know. It's just released by Radar Online.
How do you spell your name? J-E-N-E-L-L?
J-E-N-E-L-L-E.
Where is he at right now?
He's outside smashing stuff.
Great guy. Nice anger management.
Good idea to stay with him after he shoots your dog, by the way.
Yeah, he has.
It's worth losing your kids over.
He cares all the time.
Great guy.
Is he breaking things?
Yeah, he broke my front door. I don't know how my front door looks, but...
And you said you're in the attic?
Yeah, I'm in the attic.
How old is your child that you've left in there sleeping?
They're about to be 2 in January.
Yeah, you shouldn't be there.
And you're in the attic?
Well, I'm right above her room right now. She's sleeping. I don't want her to wake up right now.
No more kids for you, too.
But nobody's down there watching them?
Can we fix these people?
No, I'm right
here. Neuter.
I'm looking at her door right now from the attic steps.
Okay.
I think it's a good Twitter poll. Should certain people be fixed?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to get someone out there, okay?
All right. Thanks.
And you spell your last name E-A-S-O-N?
Correct.
Shouldn't there be a release of best of Janelle Evans 911 calls? Ugh. Has she not called 911 with every boyfriend, husband?
There should be a crying wolf law. To where you can cry wolf and call 911 so many times, never again.
No more 911 for you.
Yeah.
But it is a great idea to have a compilation.
This is 911. Someone caught or hung up. Is everything okay?
Same operator.
I was just wanting an officer to come down and talk to me at my house.
What?
Wait, what now?
But you said you'd shoot one if they came on your property.
Come to my house and speak to me if that was okay.
I love a response. I'll do what now?
Search my mailbox and someone sent me a letter that has powder in it in my... And it said Brunswick County Clerk, and when my husband opened it, powder just came out all over my car, and we don't know what kind of powder or substance it is.
And he snorted
it? And we would like for them to come check this out.
Beard.
My husband just, like, tripped completely in the middle of the road. My name is Janelle Ethan.
Wait, he's nude?
Yeah, he's nude.
Oh, gross.
So we received a letter in the mail. When you opened it, powder went everywhere?
Yeah, my husband opened the letter inside my car. And then when he did, powder went everywhere. And now, I mean, I'm looking at it right now. It's on the ground.
No more U.S. mail for you either.
Right now, like, you can see the powder.
Okay. And you were at home, correct?
Yes, we just pulled up home from court.
She thinks they know who she is. Yeah, we're just a court, you know.
Well, they probably do.
She's trying to get her kids back, right? You know.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Is there just one 911 operator there then?
Maybe.
Probably.
Why did she say, we just got home from court?
She's trying to tell the story.
I don't know.
That just seems like information that was
too much.
Completely unnecessary.
She does like to aggrandize her story.
Yeah, just a bit. Oh, my God, what a moron. Did you hear Kwame wrote a letter to Trump?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Kwame seems to think that Trump would
like him.
Give him clemency.
Wow.
So he kissed his
and
ass.
So, yeah, so he basically tries to write a letter that's designed to have Trump go, yeah, Kwame, yeah. And I would think, first of all, I would think that people would be ragging Kwame for kissing Trump's ass.
Sure.
I would, too.
I haven't heard a word.
I don't think so.
By the way, there were I got some email today about Tracy Morgan.
Oh, right.
And people agreed. He was a complete fucking asshole. And they seem to feel that the media can't say that. And I said, I answered, I think it was two people. And I said, of course they can. That why are they saying it's understandable? I don't understand. There's no reason anyone has to agree with what he did or say or make excuses for him. I would think they would be, if anything, with this media especially, it would be the woman, the little tiny woman in the car would trump the fact that he's Tracy Morgan.
Yeah. I mean.
Bitch, get out the car! You know, banging on the window? That's bullshit. His $2 million car, he's a fucking star. He's a spoiled brat.
So most of them agree?
Well, our audience agreed that he's a dick.
Yeah.
And there's no reason to kiss his ass. But, well, one in particular was suggesting that now you can't really say anything bad about him. I'm like, what? I don't know, but nobody did.
And even
that's
so,
what I mean.
It doesn't mean you have to fawn or
I thought he was. I thought he was a complete asshole, but I was more, and I don't want anything done to him or, you know, he should be boycotted or he should be punished or whatever. I just am annoyed that people are going, well, it's a $2 million car. Of course he's mad. I mean, you should have seen them go
the
on and on about how understandable this is.
Since when has the value of the car entered an argument like
he
that?
He just bought it. But he got it 15 minutes ago.
I know, but if you have a nice car and you get in an accident with someone, you're then allowed to just go off?
Yeah.
Apparently,
or is it based on who bought their car more recently?
It's if you're Tracy Morgan, you're allowed to. That's why I said, you know, if this was someone we didn't like or is, you know, not so popular, that people go, oh, my God, you see what he did to that woman?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I didn't understand. Why does he get off the hook? What is this ass kissing? It just seemed weird to me. But,
well, I mean, yeah, it's dumb. Never mind.
So Kwame writes a letter to Trump. And by the way, as if Trump is going to read all this shit. he sends him 20 pages on why he's not guilty.
20? Oh, my God.
And, you know, when they first were talking about getting clemency or getting a pardon for
him. Which is good,
because
Trump loves reading.
Right. Size up the room there, Kwame.
And he loves Democrats.
I need you so bad.
So.
He might be into the hip-hop mayor.
Originally when, the rappers used to love Trump. The hip-hop, he was in videos.
Yeah.
He was in music videos all the time. He was like the representation of, you know, wealth and being proud of it and, you know.
Just remember that.
So, Kwame, my understanding was when he originally, it was suggested that he should go to Trump for a pardon or for clemency, that there were a couple problems. One was that he had admitted to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was part of it, was that you needed to take some responsibility for what you've done.
Oh, right.
Well, he hasn't done any of that, and he doesn't in this letter either. So I'm not sure I understand what he's trying to get done here.
I think he's got one thing in the letter that might catch Trump's eye and have him maybe look at it very carefully, is that he starts ripping Barbara McQuaid.
Oh, okay.
And calls her the Obama-appointed U.S. attorney.
But how obvious is that? He says Obama attorney like six times in there.
I know.
That's right. Well,
He likes to undo anything Obama did.
I'll be very surprised if he gets any response out of this.
I'll be shocked.
I thought it was comical that he tries to kiss his ass so hard. Ex-American Fire. I first want to congratulate you for the overwhelming and stunning victories of your presidential campaign and also the unprecedented success of your first 2 years in office.
Fake.
You've shaken up the entire world. That's a great thing to behold.
That's good, right? Is that good?
I pray for your success daily.
Really? I like that.
The two-page cover letter includes a 20-page attachment. Yeah, which, how quickly is that going in the trash?
Thank you.
I applaud your boldness and tenacity in confronting the traditional and sometimes deformed politics of our country.
He'll like that. He'll really love the next line.
Yeah. You have vociferously exposed the treacherous and calculating schemes of our media and government that have worked to crush families, communities, and even the truth itself.
Thank you
for standing up, speaking out, and exposing this wickedness.
Wickedness.
I know.
Nice.
I've done some hard time in prison, including spending more than 5 months in solitary confinement at different times throughout this journey. I've lost significant years of experiences with my three sons. Yeah, because you committed crimes, asshole. I don't understand. Does he really think anyone isn't going to say, well, then you shouldn't have committed a crime? Why did you do that? Why'd you steal all that money?
He's such a nice guy.
But he, as he lays out point by point, he never did steal any money.
I've missed high school graduations, college entrances, awards. He misspelled entrances, by the way. Award ceremonies, holidays, birthdays, and many simple life moments with my boys, my aging parents, his aging parents, one of whom should be in prison, too, for stealing money.
Which?
My family and my friends. Yeah. Bernard.
Really? Oh, okay.
My president, I'm humbly and respectfully requesting a commutation of my prison sentence. I'm not a danger to society, nor am I prone to ever reoffend. I'm praying that you'll give me the opportunity to be a present father for my children and soon grandchildren. Even if you believe everything else the feds have in my case, without the RICO conspiracy conviction, I would not have received more than a 96-month sentence. I've already been incarcerated nearly 8 years. The feds opened their investigation against me in February of 2002, just 1 month after I took office. The feds are politicians.
Are you okay?
They choose sides in elections. They didn't want me to win.
You should have led with that. That's the part he needed to lead with.
I wasn't their choice. I ran a grassroots, people-driven campaign, hint, hint, like yours, and shook up the establishment, like you. I beat them twice. I know you know a great deal about this.
Yeah, but wasn't he out and living peacefully somewhere when he contested the money that he was obligated to pay, and that's what sucked him back in?
Oh, he did so many, he
could not stay low.
I met you in Detroit years ago with my mentor, Don Barden.
Oh, boy.
Oh, Don Barden.
I know.
Oh,
boy. Mr. Barden always spoke very highly of you. Oh, I bet he did. And truly admired your business savvy and leadership skills. I love to sit with Mr. B. Cigars all around, of course. And listen to him talk about working with you. He's my friend, a key supporter, and remains so until his death. If he were alive today, there's no doubt in my mind that on my behalf, he'd be making this plea to you himself. I'm humbly asking that you will extend your heart to me and my family for another chance at abundant life. I'm humbly requesting you give me relief from this egregious and unjust federal prison sentence of 28 years. With one stroke of your pen, all caps, you give new life, freedom, and hope to me, my family, and many will be served by your kindness, gesture of kindness, mercy, and forgiveness. Then he gives the clemency case number, like they're not going to be able to look it up or something.
Hey, why didn't he ever write a letter to Obama?
Oh, because he knows Obama wouldn't do a thing. Well, I think it has a certain amount of time has to go by, too. I think you can't do it on the first day.
Well, no, he's been in there for 8 years, though.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it after 5 years?
I think you can after 5 years, actually. My case does not involve none of the charges nor any convictions involve the City of Detroit bankruptcy. Oh. I don't know what that even means. None of the charges, none of the convictions involve embezzlement, misuse of public funds, or stealing any money. Okay, that's a lie. First of all, the settlement with the whistleblower case, when he found out there were text messages, he padded it with $2 million extra dollars. Mm-hmm. Because he was busted.
Yes.
To keep them quiet. Didn't work. But also, he did lie in the whistleblower case. He lied under oath. He
perjured himself.
He fired people because they were looking into something about him. So he absolutely cost them money. That was $7 million right there, I believe. None of the charges, nor any convictions involved embezzlement. None of the charges, any convictions involved bid rigging, the fixing of any. Are you joking? Is he joking here?
No, it's what he believes.
None of the convictions involved any financial loss to the City of Detroit whatsoever. No charges involve any violent crime. I was excessively sentenced to a 20-year prison sentence. Hashtag too much time. RICO sentence.
Wait, he typed hashtag
yes,
too much
time. He did.
Okay, that's weird. Well, he's trying to appeal to him.
RICO conspiracy, 20-year sentence. Using $13,953 of 501c monies for personal use in quotes between 2003 and 2007. Fundraise $1.73 million. It's only $13,000 out of $1.73 million.
It's not how it works, though, my
man. No, it's not how it works, asshole. income tax convictions associated with the aforementioned conviction. 1 year sentence. I received a 20-year sentence.
Hey, who were the four guys that gave him money to go away? Carmanos,
Penske, Illich.
And who was it? Gilbert?
That might have been Gilbert. Yeah.
So that's four white guys.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's asking a white president, but I thought all the white people hated him, called him the N-word, and threatened him, like he said in his speech.
Damn that!
It's really interesting.
Maybe he did all the race baiting.
No, that's my point.
The race baiter.
That's exactly my point, Drew. What bullshit that was.
And then he mentions that there were more than 3,000 city contracts moved through the during his time as mayor, but only 10 of these were part of this two-person RICO organization. It stinks. No, they pick certain ones that make the best ones to make a case for in court. They're not going to pull out 620 cases and go through every one of them. We'd be in court for years. No. That investigation in 2002, 1 month. Investigation persists for more than 9 years. The Obama-appointed U.S. attorney aggressively pursued my prosecution like no other. She forced the indictment for the RICO conspiracy.
I told you before, I hope Trump grants it. I really do.
I don't.
Get out of here.
I couldn't take it. It would be just too ridiculous.
Well, this is so it's already too ridiculous, Drew.
If he grants it,
why not let him go out?
He may end up being the mayor next time.
No way.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
Why not at this point? Who cares?
Oh, I care. I don't want this asshole being mayor of any city.
There is no way he could be a mayor again. You know what he'll do?
It makes me nervous.
He'll open up a church.
I don't want him doing that either. But the Obama-appointed team viciously and maliciously pursued the prosecution anyway because they could.
He's banking on the undo everything Obama does. Gambit.
He really knows the audience he's writing to. He does.
Listen to this paragraph. I know you're able to discern the unfairness and deliberate injustice as well as the selective nature of this prosecution. For the first time, we have a president that can see and fully understand how our own government will sometimes plot, organize, and coordinate to work against its own people. It was a rapidly aggressive prosecution partnered with lockstep coordination with the media. Lockstep coordination with the media. Are you fucking kidding me? Really? Lockstep? Oh, my God. Implanting stories, real with blatant lies, malicious rumors, and evil intent. Hashtag fake news.
Wait, he wrote hashtag?
Use fake news. Yes, hashtag fake news.
He knows his audience.
You are fake news.
Thank you very much for your work and your voice in exposing these malicious practices. Please don't ever stop fighting. You are right. Oh, my God.
That's right.
It's too funny.
Speaking of great mayors, did you see this story that Dietz did, the defenders on Channel 4?
Fuck that shit.
About a woman who here you go.
10 years as Warren's only African-American police officer.
She says she faced racism constantly at work, and her attorneys believe that culture
was put under deposition
by the mayor, and those tapes prove
it. Defender
Kevin Dietz is live at Warren City Hall, and you've repeatedly tried to talk to the mayor about these tapes, Kevin. Is he saying anything at this point?
He absolutely does not want to talk about these tape recordings, especially under oath. He flat out refused to answer any questions about them during a deposition. Now, a judge may make him talk about it in court.
Oh.
It's the secret tape recording controversy that will not go away. Is this Warren Mayor Jim Fouts' unedited voice on tape?
You know, blacks do look like chimpanzees. I was...
Chimpanzees? Who pronounces it that way?
Well, when you make fake audio, Drew.
Mayor Fouts told local reporter
Yeah, they couldn't get
Jermon
him saying
Terry,
pansies the right way.
Not.
Number one,
here's what Jermon.
I have the presumption of innocence, number one. Number two, I've already said that is not my voice, and that is a manipulated,
manufactured
tape.
And we've decided
but
you're guilty.
In a recent legal deposition, under oath, when asked if this was in fact him on tape, Mayor Fouts refused to answer the question at advice of counsel.
He had an opportunity to answer that question, but he did not answer the question as to whether or not that was his voice.
Local 4 legal expert Neil Rockin says dodging the question in a deposition could hurt the city's chances in a racial discrimination lawsuit filed by Tashila Howlett,
but it protects
a police
him.
Officer in Warren.
Protects
it's a very
Fouts.
Tough position for the mayor to be in and for his lawyers on his behalf to be in.
And likely is only buying the mayor more time until he has to answer the question.
Assuming that the judge permits this evidence in during the trial, at some point, the mayor will have to answer.
Dashiella Howlett was Warren's only African-American police officer for over a decade. She says she had to put up with racist remarks at work.
I was compared to the gorilla, you know, and people just don't understand the history of a black person and why that's so demeaning.
And claims white officers were slow to back her up on police runs because of the color of her skin.
The cavalry's coming for everyone else as fast as possible. And so it's like the grace of God that when I was out there, you know, that I haven't been hurt.
The mayor, who has said he has nothing to do with Officer Hollett's case, finds himself in the thick of it because the suit also claims the mayor allowed a culture of racial animosity in Warren. Howlett's attorney wants the tape recordings entered as evidence, and the mayor under oath in front of a jury to answer the question.
Oh, the mayor will have an opportunity again to
have some porn album, right?
To answer that question.
Jesus, porn collection.
This afternoon, we did hear from Mayor Fouts' attorney in a written statement. She told us that Mayor Fouts is not a party and had no involvement in Ms. Howlett's separation of employment from the Warren Police Department. The mayor was called to testify in her case to confirm he is not in charge of training and does not implement policies for the Warren Police Department. It was my job to make sure only relevant topics were raised at that deposition.
Only relevant topics?
I did just that with my instructions to the mayor.
Yeah, your instructions were because...
were not
he's lying.
Any questions
if he said no, it's not
recordings.
My voice.
You can see the entire
that would help the case,
on our
dumbass. How stupid do you think we are?
So stupid.
Kevin Dietz.
Yeah, and Kevin, it's just so hit and miss with the mayor on what he wants to say about this, and he wants it to go away. And in the past, he has said he wanted to answer those questions,
he's
but
done with it.
And
you already
would have
answered
that. But clearly, like we said, we'll see if he answers them in
if
court.
If it's not him,
by the way, what are you expecting
no.
to see on Wednesday when the case goes back to court?
Yeah, so that case is going to be in federal court.
Oh! Ooh! Fouts pulled the plug on his remote.
We don't need their back and forth.
No, that was not me on the tape. That was a manufactured, engineered tape by, you can do it by Adobe software.
By saying he won't answer on advice from his counsel, he's saying, I can't answer that question, which says, yeah, it might be me. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it helps their case. His attorney suggesting that we're trying to keep focused on the real case.
Oh, no, he's lying.
Of course he's lying.
You know what they need to do? They need to trick
if he
him.
He said no, it would help the
it's
case.
It's either protect the city or protect himself.
They need to trick him into saying chimpanzee and then compare it with the Adobe cell of my phone. And then when you get a match, you know that the rest of the tape is
Mayor,
him, for
Mayor
sure.
Fouts, have you ever been to the zoo? What's your favorite animal there? Second favorite. Third. Fourth. Until he just finally says chimpanzees.
What are the animals in that cage?
Yeah. What is this a picture of?
Keywords.
These comments on the Kwame story are... my God.
What outlet?
Deadline Detroit. Kwame's getting pardoned. Trust and believe that. All he had to do was mention Obama appointed, and that's all it takes.
That's what Trudy and I said.
And if you pardon him, he'd win Detroit by a landslide.
I don't think he would.
You actually
really don't.
I don't think so. But I don't want to. I don't want to find out. I don't even want him running. And then she goes on to mention that you have black Trump bandwagon people who are realizing Whitmer, Gilchrist, and Duggan Democrats aren't doing anything in their favor. The whole gentrification, neglect of the neighborhoods isn't a good look by Dems locally by blacks who live in Detroit. I could see it happening.
That's assuming he's the only black candidate running.
Yeah, there are other people.
Yeah, there's other black people that would run.
Come on.
That really is simplifying how black people vote, too.
Free Kwame! I don't care whose penmanship is behind it. Free Kwame, period!
Wow.
Be kind of fun. See what a disaster he'd be.
It could be interesting. I'm just afraid it'll go where I don't want it to go.
Yeah, that is probably too big of a risk.
I see him living in a mansion with lots
of
donations for something.
Hell yeah.
No, he'll get paid a lot for doing very little, whatever that is.
Yeah, he will separate someone from their money.
That's what he does best.
You had me at hello,
it's what
Jerry Maguire, 2000.
It's his greatest talent.
No, he is really good at it, and it's all he lives for, too. I wonder how bad Dan Gilbert is. It doesn't sound good,
good
to me.
At all.
I'll tell you what I'm most unnerved by is, A, we haven't seen him, mm-hmm. and B, we haven't seen his doctor talking. Mm-hmm. So obviously his doctor has been told not to talk because you know they could hold a press conference and say, Dan's great, he'll be out in 3 weeks.
Yeah. Yep.
So,
no, it's not.
You know, when it's just
scary.
People saying what little they're being given, which is all they're doing, and nobody seems to be doing any deep research on it.
Didn't someone have the quote of, I knew he could hear me like 3 days after, which
well, they were expressing things like, he was showing his sense of humor, and you know, it's little things like that, which don't mean
scary.
Anything. Yeah, but he's getting better every day. Better than what?
I don't know.
So I don't know.
Hope he's all right.
Oh no, absolutely. I hope he's. I certainly hope he is. Mm-hmm. It just seems something is maybe not good, or they would offer more.
Yeah.
Where'd Brandon go? Is he doing an interview?
I need to take a dump.
Did he go upstairs?
No, he went that way. No, he's in the.
That's what I thought. Did he take the phone?
The green room.
Here's two pieces of good tabloid stuff if you want that.
Oh, by the way, I'm getting crapped on for using old timey banking procedures and not doing.
What?
Banking apps.
Oh, shut up with your banking apps. I'm with you, Trudy. Hashtag, I'm with Trudy.
In a funny way. But you know, the guy's right. If you take a picture of a check, you can deposit it that way. So sure. Why do they still need the old, you know, the signature on there? All that just seems so antiquated.
Well, I do the mobile, but I got to sign it, too.
Oh, they
take pictures of both sides?
A scan?
Yeah. No, I have to take a picture of the front and the back of the check, and the back of the check has to be signed. And there's a little box if you look there,
or it'll says, take it back.
Is this a mobile deposit? And you check that too.
Oh, okay.
Or you just take it to the bank.
It's the future.
Yeah.
When you're running your errands.
Right. Whatever.
J-Lo.
And it's God.
J-Lo is having A-Rod tailed.
Yes.
That's smart.
Can you believe
she
this? Really?
They won't get
married. Should have her tailed.
They won't get married if she tails him for long.
They hire the guy that lives in the building across from him.
Oh man, that was really funny.
Did you hear his response about it the other day?
He was investing in some shades or something.
I thought, in typical A-Rod fashion, you want to laugh at him and hate him, like with this whole steroid issue. But you saw it, Brandon. We both thought he came across pretty good because he basically said, "Look, it's me. Whatever. I don't care."
Laughed about it.
If it was. You know, my girlfriend or my kids, I'd be really, really mad. Which, you know, that's probably the most normal response. He didn't come across as the A-Rod robot. No, it wasn't at all. They could have got him in much worse positions, and they probably have.
Yeah, they probably got him pounding off.
That, I told you before, that working the plunger.
Oh, really?
With, oh, that would be a bummer. From J-Lo.
Oh,
J-Lo, it's coming out of both ends.
Oh, boy. Ooh.
I don't know why that made me think of this. I guess because of surveillance, but
there's
a story today about the Stanford swimmer that got the 6-month sentence for raping a girl who was passed out behind a billboard. And it's just a really weird story.
Or the trash.
Because he's having sex with this girl, and two foreign exchange students walked by and thought something didn't look right about this, like she didn't look awake. And they called the police. Anyway, he ends up getting charged with rape. And this judge got recalled for only giving him 6 months.
Which was within the guidelines.
And I never really, I just didn't know that much about the case. But one thing I did find out today in the story was that he took a picture of her nude and sent it to his buddies.
Yep.
He put it on an encrypted app, which they found. And
He got caught?
No,
during the
I guess while it was going on, he thought he was Mr. Slick and sent a new picture over to my buddies. I can't believe how often this happens when people somehow talk somebody into, or you know, maybe in the case of the girl in that Netflix documentary, this girl was passed out and they just took her clothes off and took pictures. They drew things on her with arrows, and you know, next thing you know, they take a picture of her boobs and
the Vanderbilt football case, same thing.
Yeah, no, but regular people, you know, that there was that case with the football team, who had all had this one place to go. They all contributed nude photos, and nobody said anything until one of the guys told his sister or somebody, and they ratted him out, and came out that there's like 50 guys in a high school who are all contributing nude pictures to this site, and they all go there and look at each other's, you know, their great finds. Mm-hmm. And it just blows my mind that there's so many people now that this is just a normal thing. It's just no big deal. I mean, these are 15-year-olds and 16-year-olds. Apparently, no one knows right from wrong anymore.
No.
I mean, the line has just gone so far that nobody, I mean, obviously, that's incredibly wrong. I mean, that's so beyond wrong to get a picture from somebody who is your girlfriend or somebody who you're close to and then start sharing it with people. I mean, that is the scummiest, shittiest thing to do. And yet it's...
They know it's wrong.
And granted, this is the Stanford swimmer who's a total idiot. But it happens all the time.
They know it's wrong. Seemed,
no, I know they know it's wrong.
They never thought they were going to get caught.
But, I mean, the quantity of people doing it, and with cameras on phones, it's so simple now to take a picture. And people are apparently dumb enough because there's a sucker born every minute, and they turn 15 at some point, and they go, oh, I'm in love, and I really want him to like me, so here's your picture, my pussy.
Oh, along to
is
that.
He out?
I check her out!
To that
I'm
point.
Done with her, you check her out!
To that point, there's that story.
I mean, there's a certain normalization of it. It's like,
yeah,
showing your buddies pictures of your nude girlfriend, that's totally normal, especially if you break up with her. Fuck her!
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, there's just, I guess I'm just surprised at the volume of it, because anytime you see a survey on it or a you know, any kind of a, you know, when they give you information, I forgot the ages, we talked about it, 15 to 19-year-olds or some group in there, and it's like, 28% have exchanged nude photos. Like, that's a huge percentage. And you know those things are going to the wrong places eventually. Yeah, more from NXIVM. Grandmaster Vanguard, Keith Raniere, and the underage sex slave at the center of the charges were laid bare in Brooklyn Federal Court. Twisted Exchange revealed the level of control Raniere had over his subject as she was forced to send him photographs of her crotch on command and recruit virgins to join his cult in upstate New York.
Nice cult.
Addressing what previous witnesses had already told the courtroom, the text also showed the girl was just 15 when she and her two older sisters first came into contact with Raniere and the sect. She was also a virgin. I feel like your puppet, she messaged in November 2014, 9 years into their relationship.
9 years?
He told the then 24-year-old, I need a vow of absolute obedience. I expect you to text me this vow now! I got to write this stuff down. She replied soon after, asserting that she vowed to do as you say with 100% obedience.
Oh.
Later likening him to a god, Raniere responded, you should want to give your god everything. You will arouse me, Raniere added. You will make love for my satisfaction and pleasure. You will do everything you can to provide that.
He's playing the confidence angle.
Seems to work.
It's very
confident. Really seems to work.
Yeah.
You know, the most, it seems like the more you demand of a chick, the more you get.
Is that true, Trudy?
No.
What?
So not.
Trudy, what are you talking about?
No.
You talking about?
Word from Raniere.
Well, impressionable young women sometimes.
It seems like being the playing the kiss-ass nice guy has no benefit whatsoever. You just have to make absolute demands, as ridiculous as they might be. You will be obedient to me. Do I sound credible?
Yes. You sound authentic.
You will obey me always.
All right, jeez.
No.
If I say... Wait, what did he say? I need a vow of absolute obedience. I expect you to text me this now. Text this vow now.
All right. Wow. God, back off. Maybe that's why they sent it.
She immediately vows to do as you say with 100% obedience. That's good. I'm like a god. You should want to give your god everything. You will arouse me. You will make love for my satisfaction and pleasure. You will do everything you can to provide that. How does that work?
So weird.
How does it work, though?
So weird.
His hold over the girl seemed to extend far beyond sexual influence. She had to always ask the now 58-year-old if she could contact her parents and even had to seek permission to get her hair cut.
That's crap. No, I'd never put up with that, even at that age.
If Raniere was asking you, Trudy, you would be under his control.
I was rebellious.
You haven't met the right man yet.
Yes,
you don't
clearly.
Like my hair, do you?
Raniere's omnipotent control of the girl's every move took a drastic toll on her mental health. In one bout of depression, desperation, she messaged her master, I'm considered ending my life again. Adding in a number of other messages, she was struggling with depression. I feel like a prisoner.
See, do you want to deal with that?
This is your kingdom. You forgot to mention that you would unleash your fury if I ever wanted to go.
See, do you want to manage that? Do you want to manage haircut requests from your whole cult? That's a lot of busy work.
It's kind of cool, though.
Well, that's a bunch of busy work.
I mean, you just say yes pretty much. It's like, look,
no,
I just want to know you're getting a haircut, and I want to agree to it before you go.
Every once in a while, you got to tell them no to exert that control.
So
now you
got to
keep track. You got to have a book of, okay, let's see, I told Kate no 4 times ago. Okay, yes this time. Lauren 5 times. Okay, no this time.
But wasn't he...
A lot of busy work.
He wasn't allowing them to get short hair, though? Wasn't that the thing, that he didn't like certain haircuts?
Yeah, he just wants the haircut he wants. I don't blame him. I feel the same way. Raniere and I are on the same page. And I'll tell you, where else we're on the same page. Remember when people would call and go, oh, I just want to tell you guys I love your show, I'm moving away, and would demand that they replace themselves as a listener?
Uh-huh.
Rather than reply with empathy, the message show Rainier ordered the girl to recruit other slaves for Nexium in order to get your situation right. Huh. So I think I was ahead of the curve.
It could have been you.
I just wasn't asking for the right thing.
King in the castle. Go do this. King in the castle.
He added that her new competitors for his affection would have character, which they would have to prove through obedience. I think you just have to stress obedience a lot.
Yeah. And authenticity.
Nexium Leon runs 20 sexual partners among his harem of women. A harem of women also harassed the girl.
How were they so beguiled by this? He's such a dork.
Confidence.
Yeah, he does. He exudes it. He's on top of everything. He also harassed the girl for having sex with another man. What? She had sex with another man?
Uh-oh.
What happened to the obedience, bitch? Telling her she should be disgusted with herself and question her purity. Yeah, she disgraced him, but asked her to compare their penis sizes and confirm who the better lover was. What?
No, what did she say?
Many of the women among the cult's upper echelons were required to be branded, but his top slave was apparently uninterested. Ooh, would you accept a brand? He asked her in one text. A brand? Like a cow? You want to burn me?
Oh, yeah, see? Oh, no obedience there.
I'm going to burn in hell for you, but I don't think you'd want to burn me. You're creating an oath for sex trafficking victims to say during painful branding ceremonies that looked like the cult ritual of mutilating their private regions was voluntary. Featured in a 2017 recording where he planned the services, which were later administered by Dr. Danielle Roberts using a branding pen with actress Allison Mack.
Master, not a good-looking brand, by the way.
No, it really sucks.
It's just a shallow thought.
Master, please brand me. It would be an honor and an honor I want to wear for the rest of my life, he suggested the oath. Although my body may be burned or tortured, my love is stronger. They should probably say that before they're held down so it doesn't seem like they're being coerced. Before that, he asked Mack about how to convey the feeling of submission. Rainier posed a question. You think a person should be completely nude and held to the table, almost like a sacrifice? He was arrested during police raid and pleaded not guilty. Okay. You want to hit the outro, Brandon? We should skedaddle. Let's see. Best of tomorrow? Mm-hmm. Brought to you by our dear friend, killing time while I find a copy.
Scott Kunis.
Scott Kunis.
248-797-7746.
The rising star of Coldwell Banker Weir Manual. See what your home is worth for help finding your new one. Or if you want to refer someone to Scott Kunis, that's cool too. And he's perfectly happy with texting if you don't want to talk on the phone or you just want to get it going through a text. He'll keep you informed through every step of the buying or selling or listing process. 248-797-7746 or S. Kunith, SKUNNATH at CBWM.com. And this weekend, I hope people get off on the Seeger shows. I think is there one tonight or one?
There's one tonight.
Seven, one on the ninth, maybe? Are there two shows this weekend?
Thursday, Saturday. Tonight being Thursday. Saturday.
Yes. Yeah, most people are listening on Friday, of course. There's a new No Filter Sports.
Saturday and Sunday, 8 to 11 on WLL's Best of.
Yes.
There's a new ML, Solo Detroit.
Yes. Is that out?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's been out.
Okay. It didn't register on my dashboard for some reason.
It's on the dashboard.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All righty. And LaDuff will have his new show out Sunday. If you haven't heard the Dave Bing show, it's very interesting. Getting a lot of activity. Got a couple columns. Metro Times, Deadline Detroit. And a lot of downloads.
Nice.
So there, yeah. Very nice. See you. Have a good weekend.
It's the weekend.